I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
611. Hi, it's Monday. Oh, you knew that. Show number 1,245. It occurred to me when I was listening to Dave do the sports there. It's got to be hard. My sister Jennifer is not a sports fan. It's got to be tough to not be a sports fan in Chicago. I mean, think about it, starting going back to game six, which led to game seven. You know, if you like baseball, you're going to watch it. And you got college football, obviously. Mm-hmm. You got the Bears debacle yesterday. I don't even know what that was. You got Northwestern. Obviously, Notre Dame, if you're drinking.
Bulls. So, Blackhawks.
And the Bulls and the Blackhawks. Yeah, I mean, it just never ends.
You're right. It would be hard to get away from it if you don't care or don't like it.
What do you do if you're not a sports fan? You just cover your ears and go,
my wife, she's not a sports fan.
You go to the Lyric Opera, yeah, you go to the Chicago Symphony.
You skip the last 8 minutes of the newscast.
The Art Institute, culture, the Adler Planetarium.
Culture. Yeah. No, there's plenty to do,
right.
But what Dave just said, I think, is true. How do you avoid it? Everywhere you go, there's either conversations about sports or politics.
Well, in my house, I always find myself with my wife when she says she's not interested. I try to convince her with like an interesting storyline. But you see, with Khalil Mack, he came from... She doesn't care.
You know what I really realized? My little sister was really not interested in sports. Cubs asked me a couple times throughout the first pitch. It's a great honor. Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Second time, there was a rain out. Or not a rain out, but a rain delay. Everybody's talking. Everybody's hanging out. My sister was in the suite watching Seinfeld reruns.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah. And by the way, very happy. Very happy to not have to turn around and actually watch the baseball game.
For all the sports fans right now, are like, sweet, a non-sports fan in the suite.
Exactly. At 6:13, here's what's coming up. Dr. Most on a Monday, of course, Dan Hampton. We all start calling those guys the cardiac kids. I listened to a little bit of the best Bears postgame, and OB's going to die. I mean, he's got to die.
I know.
Do we have nitroglycerin pills along with the food that we give him?
Yeah, I just wish he would just relax a little bit. I mean, they've only played six games. It's
right.
A long way. There's still 10 games left.
It could get better or not.
Right? Which is always the case.
Tough teams. Come on.
It's going to get better the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you got the Jets. You got the Bills.
Until they lose.
We hope.
What?
We hope.
No, I feel pretty confident.
So they beat the Jets beat them, and we're in the same chair next Monday. But go ahead.
I mean, I'm going to make this kind of noise for no reason, Dave. You know what I'm saying?
My husband was driving to the United Center for the Blackhawks game, and he called me and said, if you want to laugh, you got to tune in this WGN post Bears game.
Losing their mind yesterday.
Yeah, he goes, they're out of their minds. So.
I'm a little worried, again, for Carmen's sake. Now, if they kill Carmen during the course of that show, who's the backup?
We have a big enough staff. We can find somebody.
Right.
I'm not worried about
it. Good to know. Larry Potash has a cool TV project. He'll tell us about that coming up a little later. Oh, the Chicago Accent Challenge is back.
Yeah, hello.
And tell everybody about your live show.
That's coming up December 2nd. Chicago Theater Works. We're going to put all the winners from the Chicago Accent Challenge on stage for the grand prize victory of $333.
And you gotta qualify, don't you?
You gotta qualify here.
Okay.
And then we'll put you on stage and think Bloodsport, the movie Bloodsport, but for Chicago accents. It's a tournament.
And then are we doing a dog in studio today, Steve Dale?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
Yay. It's been a while since Dave rolled around on the floor, with or without a dog.
Have I rolled around on the floor in this studio?
I don't think you have.
I mean, maybe one time.
The dog is named Quirky.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
Quirky?
Oh,
quirky.
That's not a good sign.
Oh,
quirky
cute.
Is like a polite exam or a polite explanation for why the dog bit you. Oh, he's quirky.
Nosing
through
the trash.
Quirky doesn't bite. Come on.
No, Steve Dale wouldn't bring in a vicious dog.
No.
And this carpeting is much cleaner than the one we left at the Tribune, which, you know, I mean, people were rolling around on that thing since the 40s.
Right.
So I like your chance of being healthy after rolling around on this carpet.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It has also not been soiled by a Steve Dale dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Or by Steve Dale.
Yeah. Or a pig, as the other, as in the old Studio A, when Spike had the pig in there.
Oh, there was a pig accident?
Yes. Oh, you don't remember that?
No, I must have blocked it out of my mind. That's what therapy and counseling are for.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Remember, elections aren't decided by people that vote. They're decided by people that don't vote. 100 million eligible voters didn't vote in 2016. Donald Trump won the White House by 80,000 votes, spread over Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania to take the Electoral College and the White House. We are 2 weeks away, 2 weeks of the day away from the incredibly important midterm elections. We will beat it into the ground over the next 2 weeks, and rightfully so. But early voting options have expanded across the region today. 50 sites in the city, dozens across the state opening for voters. 172,000 ballots have been cast statewide so far. I don't know if that's up, down, same.
A new poll says this is the best turnout numbers. This will be the best turnout numbers since they've been recording turnout numbers. For midterms.
That'd be great.
Since 2006.
Why don't we give away a Make America Vote Again hat, Super Joe? Make America Vote Again. It'll be helpful if you have a giant head, because we happen to have a lot of big head hats. But if not, it could be a trophy for you. 312-981-7200. All you have to do is promise Super Joe you're going to vote and you're going to take somebody with you.
Well, I was going to say your Make America Vote Again campaign is working. You should take credit for that poll. You should take credit for the surge in voter interest and turnout.
I think we're just doing our part as Americans.
Just telling you, man.
Yeah,
you
thanks.
I will be voting today.
Really?
Yes, I like
going
to get
early.
It over with.
Nice.
I always do.
I like to get it over with. Like
I
a trip to the dentist.
I do, like, because it hangs over me, you know.
And have you done
like
your research?
Check it off the list. Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing better than a polling place on election day. I don't know. I'm an old school.
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Hanging out with all the volunteers. We're having fun.
By the way, I'll hype this more later, but along with Ballotpedia, which I've told you I should use for research, Ballot Ready is really good as well. Ballotready.org, and we'll talk about that a little later on. Next. The Saudis either are working on a new improv situation or they're completely delusional out of their mind. CNN now showing video as fast as they can possibly show it, re-rack it and show it again, of a body double that was in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. This body double looks very much like Khashoggi, who is seen to be wearing Khashoggi's clothes. And later on, they're also caught hotel security video of he and an accomplice, that's the word for it, relaxing and kicking back after he changed back into his own clothes. The obvious thing here is the question you have to ask. If it was the Saudi explanation of a fist fight gone bad,
accident, yeah.
Why do you need a body double?
That's what usually happens with an accident. You have an accident, you don't go to the authorities, you get a body double,
right.
And you try to get out of the country as fast as possible.
It's insane.
It screams premeditated, doesn't it?
It really, really does. Next. The Trump administration considering classifying gender as determined by genitalia at birth, part of a government-wide effort to roll back recognition of transgender people under a federal civil rights law. Is there a local piece of this story?
I don't know if there's a local piece to it, but it obviously it's October 22nd, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories that this leak could have been from either party, but the point being that it's political because it riles up. Identity politics gets people to the polls.
And the idea that this would be something that the White House has to focus on right now?
It's a leaked memo, so it's something that they weren't going to focus on right now. It's for next year, but it came out.
Oh, what did the memo say?
They leaked it to the New York Times that they were going to change the distinction of what they were narrow the definition of gender. So right now, the Obama administration back in 2014, somewhere in the Obama administration, changed the definition of gender. And that's what opened up the door to the controversies over bathrooms, locker rooms that we knew. And this would be a rollback, not unlike they've done with a lot of Obama initiatives, but a rollback to what the definition was before they changed it.
Meanwhile, the Republicans had a really good weekend. The Republicans had a good weekend by all accounts, by polls, including Donald Trump getting to 45%, which is his high watermark since the beginning of his presidency. It's just one poll, but the average of all polls seems to have him around 44%. comes back to the same thing. If you really like Trump, I know you're going to show up to vote. If you really don't like Trump, you're going to show up to vote. And, oh, by the way, later on we'll talk about impeachment. Ready, class? Grab your pens. Next. Thousands of Honduran migrants steam through southern Mexico. It didn't really steam. It's more of a streaming.
Choo-choo.
Stream through southern Mexico on Sunday, heading towards the United States after making an end run around Mexican agents who briefly blocked them at the Guatemalan border. I don't know what the actual mileage is from Guatemala to the southern border of the United States.
It's a lot.
I wouldn't want to walk it.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't want to walk it.
Those pictures are incredible, too, to see that many people congregating.
I heard yesterday on ABC News, from where they're at now to the U.S. border is 1,700 miles.
All on foot.
Yeah.
Here's my question on that story. When they get to the border, is the thought that they're just going to walk into the country, is that what Trump is trying to sell, that they're just going to get there and roll over the border patrol and go right in and become illegal?
Yeah, because if that's the case, we're going to need more than a wall.
Well, are they coming to file for asylum protection because they're fleeing countries because of violence and poverty? Is that something that...
That's the answer there.
That's the answer. Yeah. So they'd be following immigration protocol in that regard, right. But Trump is trying to make it seem as if they are criminals, as he said in his rally.
And the other thing is that the people don't even seem to want to comprehend. These are people who almost 100% of which don't speak English,
right.
More than 80% of which are functionally illiterate, and again, 100% in English. The idea that they would even be familiar with our laws, the information they get that leads to them leaving is through mules and people who have an agenda to make money off them. And they're leaving because they have an untenable situation at home. And in many cases, we've seen parents say this again and again and again, it's a better option to go to the United States with your kids and hope for the best than stay behind where you've been threatened. Give us whatever money you have or your children will be kidnapped.
If you want to go down the rabbit hole, go to they're coming from Honduras, they're coming from Venezuela. If you look at why they are leaving and what has happened politically in the last year to 2 years, you would have a better understanding of why you would leave a country.
Yeah,
the country you were born and lived in and had no desire
home.
To leave. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Your home. And that this group in mass has some agenda to somehow beat our immigration system and come in and start dealing drugs and murdering people. Come on. Use your common sense. Next. Cook County just dumped 7,500 pounds of rainbow trout into area lakes. Dave, grab your pole.
I will. Yeah. I'd love to do that. Why don't we do a show? No, this isn't going to happen.
Fishing?
It's not going to happen.
Man, I have a fishing pole that I got for Christmas a couple years ago.
Have you taken Miles fishing?
No, but that was the goal. That was the intent.
You got the pole?
I got the poles, and I was like, eh, this seems like a lot of work.
I don't know if you took Steven very often. I took Ross a couple of times, and recently he was on a trip to Colorado, and a bunch of guys got together to do fly fishing. And in doing fly fishing, somebody fell, bumped into him or something. Anyway, he fell in the water, jammed his hand between two rocks and broke his finger.
Oh.
Ross did?
Yeah. And he called me and he said, hey, Pops, did you ever take me fishing? And I go, yeah, two times, and both times you couldn't wait to leave. He goes, well, let me tell you what happened. So apparently it was my training or lack thereof that led to his broken finger.
I wouldn't be too hard on yourself.
Do you take Steven?
Yeah, I blame yourself.
Not a whole lot. No, but...
I would recommend you take Miles just for the sake of the story.
I know. I grew up on a lake, so I've done a lot of fishing in my time. Right. A lot of... Another bullhead carp. Catfish or whatever. You're like, ah, God.
We have a cabin on a lake, and our kids don't even fish. It's...
Well, we used to camp.
They just find it so boring. They just...
It can't be. We used to camp, and when we were kids, camping meaning my father and his friends would fish and drink. And would fish Lake Ontario, which is unbelievable.
Wow.
So I was fishing all the time when I was a kid, and then I didn't.
And then, yeah.
Until I took Ross the two times, and then he broke his finger.
Yeah. We always went up north where Mary has her cabin, and we always fished. Katie and I started out with a bamboo. I had a bamboo pole where you had to just turn it.
Oh yeah.
We had one of those, but then
didn't
I got a real
one. Snoopy one? The Snoopy pole?
I didn't have a Snoopy one, but my sister would fall in every year, fully clothed, would fall in. I think she did it on purpose when she would cast.
Did it for attention?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
Shocking.
Well, as a
shocking
fan of River Monsters, the great show on Animal Planet, I'll take a pass on fishing. There are some monster fish in there that'll eat you.
Don't tell Miles that right before you go.
We're going to watch a marathon of River Monsters.
You should take me to the Illinois River where those big fish jump out of the water.
Asian carp.
Yeah. And finally, President Trump said he and Republican lawmakers have been working on, quote, a very major tax cut for the middle class, above and beyond the one that we now have that has driven the debt and deficit problems to record highs. That'll be introduced before the November election in 2 weeks. The move appears to be an effort to increase Republican turnout at the polls because Congress won't be in session until after the election.
Wait, so nobody's there to do this? How's that going to happen?
He's got a magic wand. He's got kind of a little wand.
I'm listening. He's got my attention.
Yeah. So stand by for your major tax cut coming up.
Yes.
Just before the election.
Didn't win the lotto, but the tax cut's coming.
I'm glad you mentioned the lotto. The lotto, the Mega Millions, and also the Powerball. A total of $2.2 billion so far between the two. And the drawings Tuesday and Wednesday night. We will decide if we're going to continue to risk ripping this show apart with another one of these group situations. We won nothing. Did we have one number? I looked at the ticket quickly. I don't know if we had one number.
I don't think we did. No.
But why would it rip the show apart? I think we're all in.
Oh, I think some of you guys are going to go nuts. I think you probably have already filed the preliminary lawsuit papers.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
It's going to be nicer today, about 60 or so, and early beautiful sunrise coming up over Lake Michigan behind me, the fabulous studios, which Dr. Kevin Most saw the other day, 303 East Wacker. This should be your office. Wouldn't you like it up here?
Yeah, I would. I saw Larry Wirth this weekend, and I think I'm going to take over his office, which I guess is right below you guys. So.
Yeah, he does have a nice office. You know what we like to do whenever he's having an important meeting on the 17th floor is have a live band in on the 18th floor, because for whatever reason, the sound goes straight down and apparently really drives our corporate friends nuts.
Just jump up and down, and yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because it's fun. You know, that's fun. That's all. We're just having fun.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Oh, and congratulations to Raymond from Hampshire. He just won a Make America Vote Again hat. I've got one of those for you as well.
Great.
It's going to be a good look for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Most, Doc Most's nephew was at the Blackhawk game on Thursday, was it, Kevin?
Yes.
And he got himself on the pregame show.
Oh, that's one cute kid.
He's so cute, and he was over Steve Conroy's head in his little jersey.
Yeah, that's you got some great-looking nieces and nephews, but that kid's face is unbelievable.
Yeah, he is a funny little guy.
Yeah. All right, let's start with kids, and unfortunately the transition isn't good, but this is something parents are concerned about, and we're going to get to a couple of major conditions here. One very common, relatively common, one extremely rare, acute flaccid myelitis. What is it?
Yeah, this is the illness everyone's been seeing on the news. I mean, it's on national news, local news, because of the devastating illness that it is. And it's an illness that causes paralysis in kids. And if you go by the words, acute flaccid myelitis, so acute means it happens very quickly, flaccid, the paralysis portion of it, and myelitis means it's an inflammation in the spinal cord. So it's a very serious illness, but like you said, fortunately it's very rare, but we've seen more cases of it here this year.
How is it spread?
We're not so sure, to be honest with you. We think it's caused by a virus, but we're not sure exactly what virus is causing it. And you say, well, why would you even think that? And it's because we see it in kids, and we're not seeing it in adults. So adults that have been exposed to a virus before don't have the same reaction. Kids that are exposed to a virus for the first time possibly can do that. So that's one of the issues that they're checking right now with the CDC to try to identify exactly what might be causing this.
Is it one of those things, Doc, where it's like dormant in some people's bodies and not in others?
We don't think so. That's more along the lines of shingles, where that virus will come out and pop out when we're older and, you know, give us bad reactions later in our age. We haven't seen this in elder people. So we're seeing it all in young kids. As a matter of fact, fairly, really young kids, unfortunately, you know, in that, you know, under 10 age.
Doc, take us through the process when you've come across something that you haven't seen before as a medical community. What is the process to figure out what it is and also to figure out how to contain or eradicate?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the biggest problems with this, Justin, is that when we see something, we start to look at, okay, take the individual, What was he sick before? Does he live in an environment that has a certain area of a chemical? Is there anything that happened prior in his life? Is there anything genetic? So when you get a large group of people that can get an illness, you have a big subset of group to look for to start to look for common portions of it. In this, it's totally separated. So think about, we've had 10 kids in the Chicagoland area. Well, think about how many hundreds of thousands of kids we have in the Chicagoland area that didn't get this illness. So we start to look at, is it infectious? Is it environmental? Is it a toxin? Is it genetic? And we try to figure that out. But this case, it's a little bit more difficult because there doesn't seem to be any one single common virus or one single common incident.
The CDC working hard, as you say, to figure this out. But in the meantime, there's parents getting up this morning, getting ready to put their kids in the car and take them to daycare and all that. And normally the problem you have is they come home and they got the sniffles or something because one of the other kids gave it to them. We don't know that this is going to be spread by a cough or whatever from somebody else. But it's never been more important to teach your little toddler, obviously your older kids, cough into your elbow and wash your hands all day and do all the things you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, because some of these kids, that's what exactly, they had a little bit of a cold, and they all of a sudden now can't move their arm or can't move their leg. So, yeah, so the only way we can really contain it is if we think it's a virus, let's at least use some common sense and teach kids. And those are life lessons. Those are ones that, especially coming into flu season right now, we want to control the spread of any illness. But just some of those common sense things, and if you get your kids doing it early, it's a reflex then for them. They don't even think about coughing. They cough right into their elbow.
There's nothing related to meningitis here, like a toddler version of it with the spinal fluid question?
Well, you know, it's definitely in the spinal canal, but it seems to attach to and do damage in the spinal cord, and that's the difficult part of it. So not so much in the brain where it's causing headaches and causing other illnesses. It seems to attack in the spinal cord itself, which if it does damage, too bad of damage, it's irreversible. And if it just does some minor damage, some of these kids are getting back by doing physical therapy and occupational therapy to get their muscle and balance back.
Last question about this part. Symptoms that would be frightening enough for you ought to take them to the doctor or the hospital immediately would be what?
Someone who can't move their arms, someone who can't move their legs, someone who has slurred speech when they normally don't, someone who has drooping of their face, someone who has difficulty swallowing. Those are the big things. You know, you look at a kid at that age, they're usually very robust and they're running around and they're very active. Someone that changes dramatically at that point, get them in, because there's some supportive measures that we need to do and we need to protect these kids.
Everybody knows somebody or loves somebody with MS. We'll talk about that coming back, and also what to do about Halloween. I think some schools and communities are doing safety nights this week. There were some that actually happened this weekend. By the time we talk to you next, will Halloween have happened?
No, it's Wednesday, the 31st.
Okay, so we may not get to all of this then, because we could tighten it up next Monday. But I want to talk a little bit about Halloween when we come back as well. And Doc, do you know what you're going to be?
I haven't decided yet.
Have you? I like you as a cowboy.
Yeah, cowboy.
I see you as a cowboy.
Yeah.
Doctor Kevin Moss, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Doc, I've got a couple of friends from over the years who are dealing with MS. Kevin Matthews has been very public about dealing with MS. How common is it?
Not real common, but like as you say, you know, we have somewhere over 400,000 cases in the United States. So almost everyone knows somebody who has had MS or has touched with somebody with MS. So much more common than we'd like it to be, that's for sure.
Selma Blair, a very well-known actress to many people, including her family, she's very cool to come forward and talk about her struggle because, people need to know. And whenever we have a celebrity talk about how they're dealing with an illness or a condition, I think it helps everybody else.
Definitely does. And if you read, you know, what she said, she looks back and she's been struggling with it for a couple of years now. But as she looks back, historically, she says, you know what, I think I've been struggling with this illness for 15 years. So that awareness of this illness that comes and goes is very important for people to understand. And I just think her statement alone will make people more aware of it and come forward, because that number of 400,000 is low. People are out there with MS and don't know they have MS.
We always publish and post and do those things with your notes. With the podcast after this segment's complete. You have a great example in these notes, which is as good a visual as I've ever seen for any condition. It really helped understand it. MS is like a cracked or broken electrical cord. How?
Yeah. So, you know, when we have electrical cords that whether it plugs in your lamp or plugs in your computer, we have the wire inside that actually carries the electricity. So that's the same as what our nerve is. But that rubber coating on the outside is what protects it and allows it to go smoothly through. And that's called myelin in the body. So the body has this sheath, this myelin sheath, essentially this rubber that encases the nerve. So it allows the nerve to transport electricity and transport its message very quickly. If it's damaged, just like it would be in a cord, it may not work. It may flicker. If it's a light, it may not work at all. So that's exactly what happens here, is that protective coating of the nerve is damaged or is taken away.
Doc, what causes MS?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is a chicken or egg, right? So for us, we know that people that have MS, for some reason, their body wants to attack myelin at different times of their lives. So they can go big times between episodes, but all of a sudden the body says, well, you know what? I'm going to attack this myelin sheath because I don't like it now, and it causes the symptoms. But what caused the body to cause the attack? And we think it's a virus. We think there's viruses out there that have affected that. And one of the reasons we think that is because women get it 4 to 1 times more than men. And we know that there's a difference in women's brain that allows some viruses in more than men.
And the symptoms are mild enough in the beginning or easily confused with other things?
Oh, yeah, they can be. I mean, if you look at the symptoms and think about the symptoms, and, you know, have you ever really just kind of felt weak and tired?
Well, Monday through Friday.
Correct. So if you felt that way for like a week, you'd say, oh, boy, I just got a bad bug. But now you're back to normal. You say, oh, I must have just got a bad bug. You can sometimes have vision problems. You can sometimes have dizziness or balance problems and say, oh, I have vertigo. And these symptoms can last anywhere from a couple of days to, you know, a month, 6 weeks. So in some people where they get that, and it goes away, they don't think about it until they get it again.
Kevin, or Doc Mo, sorry. The people I know that have MS, also when they were going through the process of getting diagnosed, it was a weird thing in that you eliminate other diseases first before they settle on MS.
Exactly. So when we go to do the diagnosis for MS, it's not like we do a blood test or a spinal fluid test or anything to test for MS. People say, well, wait a second, I had all those tests done. That's right, because what we're looking for is there something else that causes this, because MS mimics other illnesses, Lyme disease, B12 deficiency, vitamin D deficiency. So what it does is we say, all right, let's make sure that your symptoms are not being caused by something that we can treat, that we can cure. So we're eliminating other things, and then we get down to the point of saying, okay, we've eliminated all those treatable ones, and now it certainly looks like MS. An MRI is done, and we often will see the telltale signs.
And as always, nobody's a better advocate for you than you. So if you don't have an MS diagnosis and you think you may be headed in that direction or are concerned about it, bring it up to your doctor. Just say, listen, I know we're not talking about MS here, but should we be? And if you feel like you need a second opinion, Doc, you've always told us, you're entitled to that. And any doctor that tries to talk you out of that, you shouldn't be seeing that doctor.
Yeah, and you know, share incidents with your doctor that occurred prior that have gone away that you couldn't explain. Because if you come in for your checkup and everything is fine, the doctor's going to say, okay, great, everything's going fine. But if you say, hey, you know what? 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, you know, I had some difficulty swallowing. I had a little bit of a slurred speech. I kind of thought it was concerning for a little bit, but it went away. It hasn't come back. With MS, it's going to remit. We're going to see different episodes. And those episodes can happen every month. They can happen every 6 months. Some people can go a year without episodes happening. But if you don't bring it up to the doctor, then he's not going to find out. Now, that being said, like I said, sometimes it's, hey, you know what? Your vitamin D level is way too low. We need to get you on vitamin D, and some of these symptoms will go away.
We don't have time to do Halloween justice here, so we could do this next Monday, right, leading up to the Halloween. But, Doc, sure. You and I are about the same age, and Dave, yep. You're in our category as well. Do you remember the plastic masks with the rubber band, and the rubber band would always break, and the mask wouldn't breathe? Remember how much fun those were?
Well, the rubber band would snap you,
mm-hmm.
for one thing.
Or you try to put it over your ears, and it cut into your ears.
Yeah, and you couldn't breathe, and they were hot, and... Mm-hmm. They smelled bad.
Weren't those fun, Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were riot. But think about how small the eye holes were.
Yeah, yes. And then you'd run, right? You'd run with your friends because you're a kid.
Across the
street. You'd run you know, around, and your friends, and this is going to shock you, I was a little slower than my friends. So you'd run, and you'd invariably you'd get a little cockeyed, and you'd only see out of one of the pinholes, and you'd run into a tree or fall down. But these are the fun memories of Halloween.
Right.
So, all right, next week.
You got it.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
Thanks, Doc.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care.
Dave, I want to know what you were as a kid with one of those plastic.
Well, 1 year I was
Batman.
I was the Flash.
Ooh, the Flash.
And
was that like a 40s thing?
But yeah. Do you remember how good it 70s. Felt to take that mask off?
Oh, yeah, your hair would be all matted down. Your face would be sweating.
Here's a question for later in the show. I know we got to run, but I don't understand why Halloween parties were this weekend.
No, the week ahead.
I agree.
Yeah. No, I saw there were some. I know Mary went to one. We could talk about it later. But the point is, I saw a bunch on my Instagram feed of people at Halloween parties on October 21st.
I'll give you something 20th. To think about. Think about this. I believe it's a party, competitive party advantage. You want people to show up at your party. There's going to be a lot coming up this weekend.
I guess so.
You can throw your party this weekend.
But I don't like it.
There's little glimpses of you as a grumpy old man that always amuses me.
I know. He stirs himself up. It's all self-created, like, agitation for no reason.
Oh, speaking of agitation,
uh-oh.
I can see Hamp from here. Stand by.
It's Walt Ball trying to get scooped up by New England, and they do. Going into the touchdown, Van Noy! Patriots go in front on special teams. Dante Hightower comes firing through for New England.
The pigskin grifters blow another golden opportunity.
An animal!
Dan Hamp. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Pigskin grifters blow another opportunity. It sounds like the elevator pitch for a movie. Not a great movie. Annoying movie. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm listening to the postgame yesterday, best Bears postgame, pre and post. And if you can get them during the game, be careful. They eat a lot, and you might be hit with some sauce.
Yeah.
And I thought Hamp nailed it. And I'm not just saying this because Hamp could kill me with his bare hands. The turning point in the game, the blocked punt that gets returned for the touchdown. In a game where all three phases were bad, Hamp, that's the one that was the killer.
Well, good morning. And you know, obviously it was a hugely disappointing game. And, you know, the great Ed Obradovich kept, you know, trying to reiterate that anytime, you know, our franchise, which has been like an AMC Pacer for about 10 years, I mean, it's nothing, you know, anybody wants to talk about. Well, when you are trying to rekindle the competitive juices and fires, and you get a chance, okay, you get yourself in a position where this is a game that means something. New England, it's not a big game to New England. They don't even bring their Gronk. And yet, you know, we go out and self-destruct in every phase of the game. It was hugely disappointing. And at some point, you know, guys have to be called out. You know, not only was Trubisky completely inaccurate, other than one drive late in the game when we were down 14, and he was pretty good. Other than that, I mean, it was, and you know, I'm sorry. You know, my wife thinks, oh, look, he ran for a first down. You know, that's not pro football. That's junior high. And it's just a matter of time until a quarterback gets his shoulder separated. So,
well, that's not what you're paying him for.
Week after week.
But that's not...
it was a moment on the big stage where we,
right,
we, you know, stumble and fall.
So I want to get to OB in a second, but is this the real Bears team? Is this team a 500 team, or is it a couple of weeks that were not what we wanted, and they're going to make the most of the next 2 weeks and get back at it? Because it's easy to go Bears fan here and go, oh, here we go. This team's really an 8-8 team.
You know, and again, these last two games, completely, you know, and in their mind, you know, I could have been a movie star, you know, if only I didn't have such a big jet jaw and I had my eyes were too close. Well, they're saying, well, we could have won the Packer game and we should have won the Miami game. And yesterday we came up 1 yard short. So, you know, we could be 6-0. And that's okay. And on one hand, you can always say, oh, it's it's good to be an optimist, but they're 3-3. The last 2 weeks have really identified the kind of football team they are, the state of the union with this football team. And let me just say this. You know, again, all the things that plague the offense, you know, the inaccurate throws, the ill-timed penalties, and some of the chaos, doesn't it seem to you that would have been really cool to see that in the preseason?
Yeah.
And kind of work some of that nonsense out?
Yeah.
But, oh, we're way too smart to have to, you know, we don't need preseason. So, yeah, in a way, you know, as frustrating as it is, they could be better. But right now they haven't deserved to be better because evidently they haven't got their act together. Yeah. And, you know, we can always say, well, this offense has a chance to be, you know, more explosive. And we're calling it a little bit of a gimmick offense. But at some point, you know, they were in that game yesterday. They're giving up 14 points in special teams. Nobody can win doing that. I don't think I've ever seen a team get a punt blocked and return for a touchdown.
Well, plus, it took forever. It took forever to scoop it up.
Where was everybody?
Yeah, where was everybody? Yeah. Dave?
Nobody else was around. And again, all these little things, you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, we've got Khalil Mack. We paid him $100 million, and now he's dropping into the flat?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and we don't need Leonard Floyd covering passing either.
Leonard Floyd on James White isn't great.
That's not good. Dave.
So Hamp, you look at what's ahead here. You knew this was going to be a tough game. Obviously, the Bears had an opportunity. They've got the Jets. They've got the Bills. They've got three straight against the Lions and Vikings before they play. And then they go to play the Giants. So you're looking at a few of the worst teams in football over the next few weeks. Are the next month really what defines this team and determines whether or not this is a better football team?
Winning games is the greatest deodorant. Okay, if we win a couple of games, we're 5-3. Now everybody's, you know, saying, "Wow, we're back in it," and that's possible. The Jets are not that good.
Nope.
But wait a minute, the Jets went to Detroit and beat them, and then the next week, New England went to Detroit and Detroit beat them. So you know, when you start looking at it, it's all about playing and winning today. You can't say, well, 3 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. And, you know, wins are desperately needed. And the head coach, Matt Nagy, obviously he had a really good summer with the media, and everybody was all, you know, bows and kisses. And now, after a couple of losses, things are getting a little more testy. So it's going to be, you know, interesting to see how it all plays out.
Hamp,
but
the question I have, go ahead.
Well, but I'm just saying, can they win? Yes, but you know what? You cannot make the mistakes they've made. Your quarterback can't play, you know, that poorly, and you expect to win. Yeah. And again, New England was beatable yesterday. They didn't have Gronkowski. They committed all kinds of penalties, and yet we played down and let them win.
Here's the thing. We talked a little bit about the special teams mistakes. You can't win when you give up 14 points. Trubisky was inaccurate and awful at times. What we haven't talked about is the defense, which seemed to be overmatched, overplayed, and outcoached. The defense, which we thought was a top-five defense 3 weeks ago, is looking more like a bottom-third defense with no pass rush and missed tackles and everything in between, giving up 38 points. As a defensive player in your prime, Hall of Famer, what do you think of the Bears' defense right now?
Well, and again, you know, 3 weeks ago, everybody's going, wow, they're like your guys. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's a long way to go, but so far, so good. Remember, the first, you know, month of the season, they led, you know, 20 sacks, 8 turnovers, 8 forced fumbles, and it was almost like, you know, they were a wrecking crew. Well, the last 2 weeks, it hasn't manifested itself to where they're even a top half defense. And Khalil Mack hurting his ankle, I hate to think the whole thing was a house of cards. And if he is not 100%, then nobody can play. And at the end of the day, a couple of guys are playing well, but not enough. And, you know, what we thought we had with Eddie Jackson in September, he has played horribly in October. Some of the other guys, Leonard Floyd, is a no-show. He doesn't even, he's not even in the camera picture most of the time. You think, you know, Smith is that Roquan Smith was supposed to be, you know, a guy that stirs the straw that stirs the drink. And, you know, he is looked a step slow.
Well, so we don't have a straw. That's the thing. We got a drink. We got no straw. That's the problem.
Yeah, hey, you might as well pour it out.
Here's,
I'm just saying.
I get it, man. Here, but here's
the point. It's all hands on deck. Remember, 10 guys can play great. One guy fail. You give up a touchdown. Everybody's got to play better.
I appreciate your passion and Obie's passion and Kaz's passion. I appreciate the fact you don't kill Carmen. I appreciate so much what you guys do in the post game. But I got to tell you, before we let you go, I'm worried about Obie. I'm a little worried about Obie. Do we have nitroglycerin pills nearby? Do we have, say, this is a clip from yesterday. Roll it.
4th and 1 on a Chicago 42. Brady drops back to pass. Now, who drops back in pass coverage? Mack and Floyd, who are our pass rushers. He completes the pass for 19 yards. You mean to tell me on 4th and 1, you send two people back in pass coverage? That borders criminal to me. How stupid can you be? You drop Mack and Floyd, 4th and 1, against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. You're an idiot.
What OB's saying is, nobody in the league can stop Mack except Vic Fangio.
I like how you are I like how you are the Rosetta Stone for OB. How you translate for him?
The interpreter.
But instead of nitroglycerin pills, what we need is subpoena power. What he says is exactly right.
Oh, he's 1,000% right. I just listen. He's too valuable to the team. Just I don't know. I don't know if we even can. We just need to make sure that, you know, he's got medical help if needed. But he's so tough. God, he's so tough. He's going to stick around long enough just to see how bad this can get, or better. The great OB and Hamp and Kaz and their little buddy Carmen and giant meatball sandwiches every week. It's nothing close. It's far and away the best Bears coverage. And we'll take this up again at the end of the week, pal.
All right. See you Friday. Go Bears.
Thank you.
Here's a stat I saw on Twitter that Roquan Smith only played 55% of the snaps, which is surprising because he's the speed linebacker that would cover James White out of the backfield. That's why we saw Leonard Floyd all over him.
Yep.
It's very interesting that he only played half of the game.
He had the only sack, too.
He appears to be on the Kevin White program where you just get in slow, a couple of years.
Fangio decided strategically not to play him because of the way they wanted to defend, but it seemed like with the speed you'd want him.
It didn't have to do with his ankle at all?
Well, that's Mack. Mack's the ankle. Oh. This is Roquan Smith, who's the speedy middle linebacker we got to cover speedy running backs out of the flat, right? Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, Roquan Khan would have been just as valuable yesterday out there. It's a 7:23. We all get to the most valuable person on the planet in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. My power's turned up.
The Steve Cochran Show continues. Out of the mouths of babes. So this weekend, Abigail stays over on Saturday night. This leads into our most valuable person on the planet. Amazing story. But on Saturday night, this is why it's so great to be 2 3/4. Not 2.5, 2 3/4. Maureen had a great idea. So let's take her to the carousel. The merry-go-round. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened. She was bananas. She's walking into the mall telling strangers, "We're going to the carousel." And after we ride the carousel, she thanked the horsies. She got, this is how nice this kid is. This is, that's what I'm bragging about my grandchild. Abigail Grace, she got off and she thanked the horsies for a lovely ride.
Did she name them too?
She may have. Yeah, she may have. It's just so fun. It's so fun. Cute. And Mary, you're months away from this. And it's going to be all over your world as well. Just no matter what's going on in the world, I look at that kid and she makes me happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, Corey does that for me now.
Isn't it amazing?
17 months old.
Yeah. So is Corey talking a lot, by the way?
Oh, she's gabbing.
Okay.
We don't know what she's saying, but she's
You will.
Then she says, diabetes. We're like, what?
Watching a lot of medical programming?
I don't know. was the weirdest thing ever.
But kids say the most amazing things, and that's why we're happy to welcome Lindsay Carr to the program. Lindsay is the mom of the amazing Marin Carr. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great, and you're the most valuable person on the planet.
I'm not sure that it's me, but my daughter, Marin, is certainly.
Six-year-old Marin Carr from Montgomery was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia in March, had to have a port placed in her chest for chemotherapy. First and most important question is, how's she doing?
She's doing great. She's in her seventh month of treatment and is doing amazingly well.
Well, God bless you and your family and obviously Marin. And I know she's a tough kid as well. But this is something that should ring with a lot of people. She's only six, but the procedure required Marin to remove her shirt or her hospital gown, and she wasn't comfortable with that, right?
Right. Marin had a port placed in her chest that allows her to receive her chemotherapy, her blood transfusions, for them to do blood draws, and for the nurses to access that port each time, she had to take off her shirt or put on a hospital gown. And Marin is pretty fashionable, and she didn't like the idea of having to take off her shirt or to wear one of their boring hospital gowns.
She looks at you and says, "Make me a dress, Mom."
Yes, we had sewn together before, and she said, "You know, I need a dress that opens up so that I don't have to take it off." So we did that.
And once you finish one, she wanted another one, and then she says, and this is the amazing thing, and anybody with a kid knows this, when your kid says something profound, it's impossible to ignore. She said to you, "Every kid with cancer needs one."
That's exactly what she said. We made one, we made a second one, and she said, "Now every kid with cancer needs one, Mom." And you make that happen.
Thus the beginning of the Brave Beauty Project, which is your goal is to do what? Just that, I assume.
Right. We have been sewing dresses. We started with just me and Marin sewing, and then a couple friends started helping, and we've been delivering dresses to her treatment clinic, Lutheran General in Park Ridge. Each week that we have appointments, we take some dresses with us for the nurses to hand out to other children undergoing treatment. And at this point, we've delivered about 300 dresses, I would estimate. And we have over 300 people that are helping us sew now.
It's amazing.
I know.
Yes, it is very amazing.
You also say on the website that she has a sister named Greta. And so you encourage the siblings also to wear the dresses so that they're a part of, there's a lot of change happening in the house, not just with the child that's sick, but, you know, the siblings as well. So you've encouraged it not just for the...
That's correct. We have a four-year-old as well, Greta, and her life has changed a lot, too. We've had to change our focus in our family a lot of times to accommodate appointments. And it's hard for her to see so many people reach out for Marin. And it's important for us to remember that siblings' lives change a lot, too. So we've encouraged the nursing staff to please include siblings that are interested in a dress to receive one as well.
Well, it's amazing what you're juggling and all the great things you've done. And as you point out in the notes, you got a friend, I think it might even have been your best friend, who just kicked a little bit of each day back for time to make dresses and made, I don't know, 50, I think, on her own.
Yes, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And Audrey has been a good friend of mine for a very long time and a very big supporter of Marin and our family. And so she committed to making a dress a day in September to celebrate Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
There's a lot of ways you can help. BraveBeautyProject.org is where you go, though. Go to BraveBeautyProject.org where you can help. You can also request a dress, and you can see what you're doing. You're an amazing woman, and you got a heck of a kid there, and I hope nothing but good days and sunshine are ahead for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet. Hold on. Send them anything. Send them everything. Send them Justin's car. Send them anything they want.
The tire got fixed.
Okay, well, good. It's going to be helpful, no question. Running late, but for all the right reasons, as I like to say, let's take this break and come back and get your headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Greg is smart. And by the way, never wrestle him. You understand that? Never. Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Sorry, I was still laughing, Ryan. It's so funny. So funny when the President of the United States and the leader of the free world thinks it's hilarious that the guy assaulted another guy. Oh, and happened to be a reporter. Hilarious.
And it's not even an alleged assault.
He pled
guilty.
Yeah. In the time of Khashoggi. Oh, for the 9 millionth time, you can't make it up. Listen, let's talk about what's important here, Ryan Nobles from CNN. What sort of Halloween costume nightmares going on in your house with four kids?
Oh, you know, this every year this happens, Steve, where my wife says, I'm not going to go overboard this year. We're just going to go to Target and buy the kids all costumes. And then she gets way ahead of herself and does something super creative. The kids look amazing, but she's stressed out beyond belief. That's exactly what's playing out this year. But I think we've got them all locked down, all four kids ready to go. We feel pretty confident about it, so we'll have to see what happens.
I have great memories of Ross Cochran, my now 27-year-old son, saying, I figured it out. I'm definitely, 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 definitely going to be a cowboy. 30 seconds later, I want to be a fireman. That's what happened. So what is your costume budget? Is it less than 10 grand, 15 grand for four kids?
Yeah, we usually, I keep it somewhere in the range between 5 and 8 grand. Everything has to be authentic. My son is being Indiana Jones, which, as I said, we just recently introduced him to Indiana Jones. It's kind of neat to see that through my kid's eyes.
Sure.
He's really geeked about that. So we had to get, you know, the most authentic hat and a real leather jacket and a whip, which he's already used to torture his sister's whip. So
there
we need to make sure that gets out of his hands after Halloween's over.
You know, Justin was just talking off the air about something that is amazing to me. That Miles, Justin's son, how old?
He is 11.
And what's going on at school?
No, I get annoyed, Ryan, because we go to the Chicago Public School. The school we go to does Pitcher Day on Halloween.
On Halloween?
Oh, my goodness. What?
Right. So it forces the kids to not wear any.
Is that the intent?
Costumes. I'm not sure if that's the intent or if they're this late to the game and the only day that's like when wedding and you're like, the only day that's left is September 11th. I'll take it.
I would think that the photographers would be busy with theme pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's odd.
You might want to embrace that. I mean, think about that. I mean, how many pictures do you have when you're just wearing a nice shirt that you've forgotten all about?
Right, exactly.
If your kid was dressed up as a zombie, you know, you'll have that picture forever.
Don't convince me. Convince my wife. I'm in that corner. I would go full on creative so that we could look back on it. But I would be the.
So when you talk to Miles for picture day, do you have to settle and go, this year you're going as you?
He is big into the pitcher day, so you don't have to convince. He wears a tie and does a little bit. It's like
wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. But there has been talk about me having to assist him at lunchtime to get into his costume for the second half of the day.
Sure.
Kindergarten, he's 11 years old.
Boy.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Well, here's something that might be news to some folks, but this is mostly in-house at CNN. And, Ryan, you may not know this. Wolf Blitzer this year is dressing up as Dana Bash. So that's going to be interesting to see. I don't know how he's going to pull that off with the beard. Unfortunately, we have to talk about the real world. You got a minute for me to take a break and come back and do that?
Yep, no problem.
Ryan Nobles from CNN. More in just a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
/7:52, that's Super Joe and Pete Zimmerman playing the music, playing us back in. Nicely done by both of you.
Sex.
Ryan Nobles is with us. This is CNN video. I think it's an exclusive. Good for you guys for getting it. Of this body double wandering around the day Khashoggi disappears. What can you tell us?
Well, it just seems to be more evidence that the Saudi government isn't necessarily being completely forthcoming as to everything they know about this situation. It certainly seems as though that there was some sort of a plan here when Khashoggi went into that consulate, and that it was not going to end well for him. And so, you know, the question you have to ask yourself is the president handling this the appropriate way? He kind of seems to be all over the map, whether or not he believes the Saudis or doesn't believe the Saudis, whether or not they're going to take some sort of action as a result of it. And again, just points to the fact that just how mysterious this whole situation is, and exactly what it means for the long-term relations between the two countries. It just seems like every day there's a new development in this story that makes it even more alarming. And the idea that they would have dressed someone up to leave the consulate, obviously to put people off the trail, seems very suspicious. And, you know, we'll have to see how the administration responds to it today.
And a 59-year-old out-of-shape guy has to have 15 people he's going to fist fight, and somehow it's an accident, then he ends up dead. It's not even a good story. It's a stupid story.
No, and I do think that that's... You know, with any situation like this, it's probably important not to rush to any sort of conclusion. But if you just, as a normal person with common sense, and you look at the facts of everything that we know, you know, and these are the facts that everybody agrees upon, the White House, the Saudi government, his family, the Turkish government, and when you line all those things up, it certainly looks as though this was an ambush. And so with the fact that the president has such a hard time kind of admitting that and really demanding that the Saudi government be held responsible, I think is curious. And I think it speaks to a long-term problem that the United States has with this relationship with Saudi Arabia. You know, we obviously are heavily invested in them as an ally, both financially and strategically. But how often, how many times can you continue to turn a blind eye to this kind of action? That's something I don't think a lot of people have a good answer.
Turning to immigration, obviously the caravan is making headlines as it gets closer and closer to the U.S.-Mexico border. The president just 15 minutes ago tweeted out that there may be unknown Middle Easterners mixed in. He's alerted Border Patrol and military. This is a national emergency. Must change laws. This is one. Of course, there's advocacy and activism on the side of why the caravan is coming to the United States at this point. But where are we with this? Because there seems to be a picture painted that this caravan is just going to bust through our border security and run amok in the United States of America.
Right. It's not as if this is in the dark of night, right? If this caravan ends up making it to the U.S.-Mexico border, they're going to have to end up at a border crossing at some point. There's all kinds of television cameras and journalists tracking it, so it's not going to come as a surprise, and they'll have to be processed through the normal situation. It's not as if they can just break down the wall and rush into the country. You know, Justin, what I think is so interesting about this particular story is that I think it really displays the divide that we have in American politics right now. If you're a conservative Republican and a hardliner on immigration, you see those pictures and you see those people as a threat. You're concerned that it could hurt the United States in some way, shape, or form. If you're a liberal, a Democrat, you look at that as a group of people who are in need of help, and we should be doing everything we can to help them. Now, I don't know where the truth lies, but it's probably somewhere in between. But yet, there's really a political opportunity for both sides of the political spectrum here to fire up their bases ahead of the midterms. And it seems to me that a lot of people are just totally forgetting about the human cost of this. There's a reason that there are so many people that feel the need to take this kind of dramatic action. And here in the United States, we're just turning it into another political debate.
Such an ego thing, too, with us that somehow we think a bunch of folks that don't speak English who are walking across Mexico have on their minds an agenda to sneak into the country and overthrow America in some form. It's idiotic. It's, I mean, there's no common sense at all.
No, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, and I'm in Florida, as it seems like I always am lately, for the debate we held last night. One of the points that Ron DeSantis, the Republican here, who's a Trump clone in many ways, talked about was that, you know, you use illegal immigration as this kind of nexus of criminality. And that's not to say that there isn't criminals that are caught up in the illegal immigration system, but they are in the minority. And illegal immigrants, by and large, commit crimes at a lower rate than American citizens.
Statistically proven.
Yeah, and so it's not only inappropriate to describe it as such, it also just gets in the way of Americans coming together with sensible policy to solve the immigration crisis. And I think that's a Republican and Democratic problem. For some reason, we can't just come up with a thing that's like, hey, let's let people that you know, can be helpful to the overall American society into the country and make it as easy as possible for them and keep the bad guys out. Instead, it's like, we're going to let everybody in or we let nobody in. And as a result, we're in this kind of staring match, and it's been that way for decades.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't have to be this stark, because there are clearly problems with our immigration system that have been around for years, and that could be the Republican talking point without throwing in all this BS and lies. Before we let you go, turnout is key. We're 2 weeks and a day away. And in that 2 weeks and a day, a lot can happen. The Democrats have a lot more money than the Republicans, but again, seem to be message challenged to be kind. Is there any shot at the Senate at this point, as the House races look like they might even be tighter, and it's not a lock that Dems are going to take the House?
Well, I do think that over the past week or so, the odds for Republicans have improved dramatically. I think it's a long shot right now for the Democrats to take back the Senate, more than any reason because of the map that they're dealing with. There's far more competitive seats in red states than there are. Like in blue states, I think kind of the hope that somebody like Beto O'Rourke was going to win in Texas has now become more of a prayer than reality. So I think that Republicans are probably going to be okay in the Senate. The question is, how big are the margins in the House? The Democrats should still win back the House, but is it going to be a 50-seat win, or is it only going to end up being a 10 or 11-seat difference? And I think where we're seeing Republicans making gains are in some of these marginal districts where you have an established Republican candidate who can separate him or herself from Donald Trump and say, I've got a record of my own to run on. I think a month ago, there were a lot of suburban voters in particular that said, I don't care who you are. If you're associated with Donald Trump, I'm not going to support you. And now as the president's approval rating has gone up, as he's gotten some wins, as the economy continues to go well, I think some of these voters are taking a second look and saying, well, you know what, my guy isn't all that bad. That's still to say, I still think the Democrats have the advantage. And I think, Steve, when you talk about turnout, the big thing to keep in mind here is, if you just look at raw vote totals, I mean, there are more available Democratic voters than there are Republican voters. But what traditionally happens, especially in midterms, is that Republicans tend to be more active. They vote more than Democrats do. What could happen this year is that Democrats finally show up. If Democrats finally show up, they're going to win. The question is, are they enthusiastic enough to get over the finish line? I think that's the question we don't have an answer to quite yet.
Ryan Nobles, he's got to get back to his loom where he makes handmade Halloween costumes for the Nobles family. At Ryan Nobles on social media. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg.
She doesn't qualify for Moron Entertainment, sort of a separate office. And the Moron Entertainment Awards will be coming. But Dean is somewhere in the air over the Atlantic, headed back from London after another one of his BS press junkets where he runs up the Tribune expense account. So he's back tomorrow. But before you get to the show business, you and your lovely husband, we're at a Halloween party this weekend.
I was, yes, which I know Justin thinks is too early in the season.
It's too early.
So, you had a list of the costumes you saw most often, repeated costumes, things of that nature. So, what are the top costumes?
Trump and Melania.
Okay,
and there
were
a couple versions of Melania. One woman was wearing the Melania, the army green jacket with the words on the back. Okay. One of them had the hard hat Melania, but the Trumps were pretty standard.
Oh, the African safari hat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No slutty Melania.
No slutty Melania.
Well, that's good. That's good.
They were pretty easy to do, too.
And Trump was always suits with ties that were too long and a bad wig.
Yeah. And it's funny because these Trumps were all different sizes and shapes, yet they all looked just like him. These people did.
I hope they were smart enough to get a group picture of all the Trumps.
You know what? I'm sure they did. There was a photo booth, too.
Okay.
A photo booth that was set up really short, and so my husband's head got cut off, so I had to make him squat for the photos.
Ah, Betty loved that.
Yeah.
All right, what were the other most often seen?
There was Judge Kavanaugh's with I Like Beer signs, a lot of that.
Strong. How'd you do Judge Kavanaugh, though, if you're in that costume? A shorter guy with a wig and I Like Beer?
What do you call the robe?
Because
at first I thought that there was a lot of priests there, but then I realized it was...
Judge's robes.
Yeah, judge robes. Bitcoin was a popular one.
How do you do Bitcoin?
Kind of like a big coin on your stomach.
Where do you get big coins?
I think they constructed them out of paper.
Tin foil.
Yeah. Little paper machine.
There was Flo from Progressive was very popular.
Flo's always strong.
Yeah.
You can't mess with Flo.
A big boss from the radio station down the dial, he was Flo, and it was very funny.
Who's that?
Jim Pastor.
Oh, I like Jim.
He runs ESPN.
I don't know him well, but from what I don't know that I'd ever want to work for him, but I mean, it seems
he nailed the Flo costume. If I'm going to bring up people in radio, David Kaplan was Dracula.
Dracula.
He sat for 2 hours or 3 hours of makeup for his costume.
That's a lot of makeup.
Yeah. And I believe it was his wife's birthday, which, you know, she's amazing. She was Elvira, and they were leaving the party to go eat at Wildfire in costume.
I had a long
bit workout before dinner?
I had a long bit going in my life from around my 20s and 30s where I was Dracula every Halloween, but it was just the Walgreens teeth and the cape and regular clothes. Like that was.
Oh, this was a real...
A less than energetic Dracula?
Yeah,
like a Dracula with mono.
Yep.
You didn't have a lot of energy.
Was anyone dressed as the Flash?
I did not see any flashes, Dave. You know what? There was the Incredibles, though. There was a husband and wife team in Incredible costumes. And on the dance floor, I kept running into the Incredible guy because they had their arms are extra poofy in the costume.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kept bumping me, and it was funny.
Did anyone understand, or not understand, I should say, that you and your husband were Mr. and Mrs. Verlander?
So, no. People, Pat was wearing a baseball uniform, and it said Verlander, so that made that pretty easy.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
And but you know, the hosts of the party are all our age, but their daughters.
Wasn't this Waddle's party?
It was Tom Waddle's party. And the Perinos that they co-host with them every year.
Did you mention to Tom that I didn't get invited again?
I did not mention that.
I mean, I wouldn't have come again. Just to be clear, I want to be invited. I won't show up.
But their daughters are in their 20s, and all the guys that were with the daughters, they all knew that I was Kate Upton right away. Like, I think that age group knows who Kate Upton is.
Sure,
we were Justin and Kate. But the older people, I don't think, knew that I was Kate or cared that I was Kate.
But you weren't...
I wasn't like a sexual Kate.
You were Kate Upton and an asterisk.
We were actually Justin and Kate from the night they won the World Series, specifically.
In an Astros jersey and a backwards Astros hat.
Yeah, it's a sweater, but yeah. So anyway, it was fun. Tom and his wife were Ron Burgundy and Veronica Cornerstone, Anchorman.
And Tom's wife looked great. Tom couldn't have put less effort into the Ron Burgundy costume. I'm going to have to call him.
At one point, Tom put his mustache on Pat's chest because he got tired of wearing it, and he stuck it to Pat's chest.
That seems right. Yeah, that seems right.
But if I could get into a little bit of entertainment news.
Yeah, what do you got?
So you heard my theme song there, which is a parody of Taylor Swift's We Are Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together.
Yep.
Today is the 6th anniversary of Taylor Swift's Red album, which that song is from.
Is that like the Beatles' White album?
It is. It was, everyone has an album that changed their life. This album changed my life, just so you know. It's amazing. It was the fastest selling album of the last decade, 7 million copies.
Is that her biggest album ever?
I don't think so. But at that time in 2012, it was. So
she's had a nice run.
It was her last country album.
She's fairly successful.
Yeah, and it goes deep. 22, that's a great cut on that one. The title track, Red, is also really good. I know
that's
Justin was asking me.
That's going to have, that album's going to have, We Are Never, Ever, Ever Get
Is that
back
is that from
together.
That album?
Yeah, that's what my theme song is.
Okay, I didn't know it was from the
Mary,
album.
Mary,
yeah.
Mary.
No,
Mary.
I get that part.
Anyway, so the Halloween movie claimed number one spot this weekend, so I guess the world is ready for Halloween, Justin.
Mm. Why with the horror stuff? It's just so embedded now.
I don't know. It sounds really scary.
I'm interested in the Halloween movie because I did not recognize that the guys from Eastbound and Down, David Gordon Green and Danny McBride, they are the writers and directors of that film.
Oh,
yeah, weird. Right? You would have never have thought that, but they wrote the Halloween movie.
Well, it's really creepy that Jamie Lee Curtis has known all these years that he was going to come get her, and it's very scary. It's making me scared just think about it.
All right, give me another one.
Kim Kardashian told Alec Baldwin on his talk show that she's glad she actually got robbed in Paris.
Why?
Because she said, this last year...
Changed your perspective or something?
It did, because she always thought she measured who she was by what she had, and that she was worth so much because she had so much, and then it...
That is so deep.
Right. Well, you expect that from the Kardashians.
And so then it made her realize that she isn't defined by...
I think the biggest headline of that interview is that in Alec Baldwin's second week, he and the producers chose Kim Kardashian. In the world of 7 billion people that you could interview,
there were Kardashians at the party. There were Kardashians.
I think that's interesting. Kim Kardashian's an interesting figure.
Yeah, so now she's enlightened. So I
think it's unfair to all the other people who did, you know, sex tapes and didn't make it.
I have two more stories that are local. One is that Jim Toronto got a shout out from Elton John.
What?
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's great.
John? Yeah. Wow. The real Elton John.
But a shout out meaning, I know you're a stalker, you got to stay 500 feet from me,
that's
that kind
amazing.
Of thing?
That's great.
Yeah, this one's for you, baby, prior to a glorious Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
How about that?
Yeah, so because he's seen Elton John more than 170 times.
Did Jim die? Because that's one of those things where I can die now. Did Jim die as soon as he said it?
It does seem like I would die.
Toronto's a guy that worked with Gary Meyer and Elton Jim. Yeah. And the Elton Jim thing for people that don't know.
We have a local theater production that needs a little attention.
Real quick.
And I don't want to say the wrong title. So Justin,
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the LaPorte Little Theater Club.
You know one of the actors?
I do. My brother-in-law, Tom Coe, who played Ruben, and I saw it. I went to LaPorte this weekend, and it was fantastic. It's excellent. Over. I'm not like promoting it. The run is over. We saw the last weekend of it.
Well, can you commit to going earlier next time so we can actually promote it?
It was, I will say this to everybody. It was really tremendous, and I felt like the community really came out. It was sold out. The whole run was sold out. People
that's
from
nice.
Port, Indiana.
We got a lot of LaPorte listeners.
You know. And the director talked about it being one of the longest consecutive theater companies in American history. Like it's in one of the, if not the longest, close to the longest consecutive 94 years.
Wow.
And it's one of the longest community theaters.
Stop gushing about the theater. Tell us what happened on the way home.
Miles, my son, my 11-year-old son, who was taken by the play, he loved the musical, decided that we needed to, on the way home from LaPorte, listen to the Joseph soundtrack with Donny Osmond.
This is like your version of Frozen.
Done already. I'm done one time through. Great. Tom was great. Everyone was great. Great play. I'm not a huge fan of that musical because it's very Donny Osmond.
Hey, careful
now. I
know
your friends.
Careful.
But, you know, and Mary was asking the songs, but it's go, go, Joseph.
That's right.
Go.
Oh, stop. I could not hear that in the car. I would have a problem.
The whole thing, too. We're not talking. Those
Do
are
you
the,
know
that's
the
famous
show?
Song. You want to go to like the sixth song where you're like, okay, I don't need talky singing.
That's the one that Donnie's and Marie pass off to Alan, the older brother.
Anyway,
that's my entertainment report. This is
awesome.
The opposite of moron entertainment.
Yeah, and you're Mary Sandberg?
Yeah. And we are never, ever, ever.
You're just going to go listen to the Red Album now?
Together. Yeah. I cannot wait.
Start
I'm pumped.
Your friends talk to my friends, talk to my friends.
All right, well, these two annoy me. I'm going to say, what's coming up at 8:30?
Boy, oh boy. Whew. Is it my turn?
Yeah, please.
That woman trying to overshadow me.
Yeah.
Get in the background.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I think Taylor Swift's Red Album is great. Larry Potash, do it. 8675309 Jenny. Come on. Why did you get Larry's joins us now? Why did you give up singing as a career?
Steve?
Yeah, why did you give up singing as a career?
Did you hear the clip? Was there audio on it? I'm terrible.
Have your kids seen that clip?
I don't think so. I'm more of a spoken word guy. Uh-huh. I'm thinking about going out on tour doing that.
Oh, that'd be great. Larry Potash's Beat Poetry Tour.
Yeah. Coffee shops.
All right. Now, personally, I watch the morning news while I'm on the air, and I should be focusing on my own show, but I don't. I watch you guys.
Well, thank you.
And, well, it's not true. But let's say it is. And while I'm watching you guys, you appear to be doing most of the work.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. Well, somebody's got to drive the car. You know, you can't have three people sitting in the driver's seat.
But there's an attempt on your show.
Yeah, I don't want them to take the wheel because I've seen what happens when they do.
So my question is, why would you take on an extra project like this thing you're doing? It's called Backstory, right?
Right. Yeah, it's I just like history, and I was doing these sort of long-form history pieces anyway. And I just thought this might be a better format that I can actually flesh them out a little bit more. Because as you know, in TV news, you get 2 minutes usually, and sometimes these stories they're really good, and I like to flesh them out. It's something different, and you know, everybody's consumed with social media, and everything's 8 seconds and 27 words, and I just wanted some time to do something that I hope will be a little more thought provoking.
Larry, there's a long-standing tradition of long-form documentary work on television and in 60 Minutes and other places. What attracts you to this style beyond just giving more space as a journalist? Is there a passion for it? What attracts you to do a show like Backstory?
It's surprising to me how many amazing stories come from history that not only do we not know, but that we've never heard of. And sometimes it's a matter of they just didn't make the history books, or they were suppressed. And I have a few of those stories. Like, for instance, one of the stories I'm working on is Valley Forge. Well, what do you know about Valley Forge? It was cold, it snowed, they were hungry,
right.
And Washington had a white horse. And that's all anybody knows about Valley Forge. So, you know, as Americans, I feel like, hey, shouldn't you know something about Valley Forge? And there are lots of surprises and lots of new discoveries from the archives that I'm bringing to light in these stories.
So, for instance, the George Washington thing, it's tough to book him now. Did you get one of his people?
Well, that's the thing. You know, you want to do stories about history for television. There's no video of Valley Forge. Yeah. I've been looking, and I can't find it.
Not, you can't even Google it.
Yeah, I've been doing some Etch-A-Sketches I may have to use.
How about live recreations? You know Tomasulo, he'll show up for anything.
I know. Well, we've actually done a little bit of that in this first one, and we you know, it's a fine line with those between being hokey and helping the viewer understand what's going on. And so that's something that we're considering. I've got the fantasy costumes. I have a few things, and we're going to have a dress-up party, and you're invited. You'd be a great Ben Franklin.
Yes, I would. I really would. I've got the hair for it. And the premiere episode is when?
October 28th, this Sunday at 8:30, and it'll air for the next 4 weeks, and then we'll do it again like quarterly, probably, is what I'm thinking.
Well, we share the same general manager in Paul Rennie, very attractive, very talented
man. Very
and
sexy.
Smells terrific, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, generally speaking, the high karate doesn't work on everybody, but it does on him. But if this thing gets some numbers, kids, then Larry will just check the boxes on one of the girls not having college. I'm just saying.
Well, don't hold your breath on them, Matt. I may have to do weekends at GN Radio if you get something for me.
We're not putting just anybody on. But congratulations on a success. I think this is great. Look, I think this is great. And I do want to seriously say congratulations. And I guess thank you to Larry Wirt and Paul Rennie for seeing the wisdom in doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's great that local TV is getting back into producing local TV, you know, like the old days.
Right.
And it's great that WGN Management has put some resources into this. So I'm very grateful.
And one last note. We just heard a moment ago your news director resigned at the top of the segment and came back just now.
I know. And we had turned her office into the WGN Fun Lounge. We had a bar set up and everything. She's ruined it. She has ruined it. But
nice,
what are you going to do?
Nice. All right, buddy. Congratulations. We'll be watching.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
There you go. Larry Potash. Young broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Was Larry about 12 when he started that show?
About.
Can anybody remember who hosted the WGN or who was the lead anchor of the WGN Morning News before Larry?
Steve Cochran.
Nope.
John Drury.
Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite. Yeah, before that, Edward R. Murrow.
That's a different station.
Oh, it is? Yeah.
Edward R. Murrow, that's Steve Grzanich's dog.
Yes, well, not in this case.
Well,
it was the actual guy.
He's also a broadcaster.
My dog works for another network, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, good agent. It's 8:33. When we come back, Steve will do the news thing right after this on 720 WGN.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, rolling on, coming up, 9 o'clock, the Chicago Accent Challenge, if you think you got a great one, if you say Da Bears over by Dare, 312-981-7200, you can
probably
win.
A good time, too, for people, pizza. If you know someone who's got one, set them up.
Yep, and this is a game of pride. We're proud of our accents.
Yeah, this is not mocking.
No, I am very excited to find the best Chicago accent in town, and the grand prize winner will announce from a live stage performance in December.
If you don't have your own talk show already, you will soon, because that's what we do now in America. And you should get Bettina Gozo as one of your guests. I mean, the great Bettina Gozo is here, and one of the great talk show guests of all time.
Well, thank you.
And lovely to see you again.
Nice to see you.
How are you?
I am, like I told you earlier, my head's on my body. I'm great.
Yeah, we had a very interesting conversation outside of the room, and I feel like I need to follow you around to protect you now, but then I remembered who you were, and you certainly don't need my help. Tell people what you do.
I am a trainer. I make people fit, and I try to inspire people to make healthier and positive lifestyle changes.
Well, you're a Nike master trainer.
Yes, I'm a Nike master trainer. Oh, thank you. Yes.
And been awarded for that over and over and over again.
Yes, I recently was crowned a Women's Health's Next Fitness Star.
How about that?
Yeah.
Very good. Congratulations. How tall are you?
Tall?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been lying about it for years, so about 5'2", 5'3", 5'5", 5'10", I don't know, 5'3".
Right. And at what point did you realize, I am going to be able to kick butt on anybody? When did you get fitness crazy?
I think sometime, it was actually when I played in the band. I think I was like dancing around with my bass guitar and then started working out, and that was maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago.
And were you seeing a bunch of like creeps in bars were hitting on you, and you figured I'm going to have to get
them? Be able to,
take care of yourself, that type of thing. business is good.
Yeah, business is really good.
So who do you work with in a typical day?
It depends. I have some young athletes. I have some general pop, you know, some CEOs and just a lot of different everything.
So if a CEO comes to you, what are they looking for?
Usually it's just to be able to make themselves healthier and just have positive lifestyle changes, because I feel like a lot of the stuff that they do, they're under stress.
Sure.
And it's not just working out, but making sure that they're just overall healthy.
I'm fascinated by the idea of the virtual training, because not everybody that you see is in person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it from the comfort of your
gym. What, like FaceTime training?
Yeah, so I do a lot of online training where I program for people and I have videos. So I travel a lot, so it's kind of hard to stay pretty consistent with all my clients to see them in person. So I do a lot of online training and then some...
But like, what's the technology? It's Skype, FaceTime?
Some Skype or some FaceTime. I don't use Skype anymore, but most of it is all just programming online.
Okay. So like you send them the workouts.
Correct.
You have videos to show you how to do it.
Yeah.
And then you video call and go, you suck, work harder.
Yes.
Don't take such a long break in between. I think that's probably that's the part I would need.
Now, Dave, you're in great shape. Great shape.
I try.
So, but I'm sure, could use a tune-up, you know, in your workout regimen.
Everybody could use a tune-up. Yeah. Sure.
So,
absolutely.
So tell Bettina what you do as a workout, typically.
You sure have push-ups last time.
We did planks last time. Last time you were here.
But like, but if you go work out today, what will you do?
I'll run.
How far?
I'll probably run based on time. Like I'll jump on for half an hour. No, I will at the end. I will do some sprints.
Ooh.
But basically I'll be jogging.
Those are very good for
you. How about box jumps? You do box jumps?
I do box jumps when I do an organized workout. I don't do them on my own.
What's that?
Got the workout of a guy the third of his age.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
Yeah. But...
go ahead.
Yeah, but I was going to ask, as far as videos, like the insanity and the P90X stuff, what's the key to being successful using those? Or are you not an advocate of them?
No, I am. I'm happy when everyone is doing something. You know, something is better than nothing.
You got to move, baby. Got to move.
Just move, you know. And I think that as long as someone's doing something that's making them healthier, making them feel better, that's good with me.
We're seeing at the athletic level professional athletes using data and so much more technology than it's ever used before. How has that changed the way that professional workouts are proceeding?
You know, I think in general, I mean, it's always kind of been like that. Like we can get super nerdy with the numbers and all of the data, but really I think the whole thing is just getting people to move. But when it comes to someone that really needs something like numbers, like the athletes, like those are really, really important, because it's literally like a game time or game changing thing. So that stuff is really, really great. And, you know, people can get more power that way and you can get more scientific to it. But not everyone needs that.
But when you're talking about people who like Dave or someone who has really committed to a workout lifestyle, mm-hmm. who continues to work out and they're looking to move to the next level, is that where they go? Or are they looking to more technology to help them with things that they didn't even think were possible?
They could if they really wanted to. Yeah, for sure.
We need an app that works out for us. Is that coming at some point? I think it's called Just Sit Here, the app. You know, it's America. Everybody wants it easy. And the fact is, it doesn't have to be so hard you don't do it, but it's called work for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got to do something, and you got to like celebrate the small victories. That's always what I say.
Now, this isn't me, but this is others. For people that were once athletes and maybe aren't so much anymore, you always hear, oh, check with your doctor before you work out. Nobody's going to a doctor before they work out. What sort of care and concern do you need to have before you jump back in?
I think you just have to listen to your body. You know, if you haven't exercised in a really long time, like, obviously, you don't want to go out with a bang. You don't want to, like... If you haven't run in a long time, you're not going to turn the treadmill on 12 miles an hour. You know, you're going to start easy, listen to your body, make sure you're hydrating, and just really just listening to your body.
Well, I think people need to be realistic, too, don't you? Yes. I hear all the time, you know, we work with some people here, like, well, I played high school football, but you're 50 now.
Yeah.
So 57. That wasn't me I was talking about? Okay.
There's been a break there in activity, you know, longer than this is a new start. This isn't a continuation from your high school athletics, you know.
I have a friend that always, he's a trainer, and he always says, be the athlete that you are today, not the one that you were 20 years ago.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was, and I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, I'm 57. It wasn't more than a couple years ago when I said it suddenly occurred to me that high school football was 37 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it felt like 10 minutes. So you do have to be realistic.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So sometimes what I'll do if I really want to get a good workout in, I'll park the golf cart all the way on the path. Ooh. And not even on the grass. So you get the extra walk. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Oh, I was asking if you were going to take a break or if we were going to talk about her new venture.
I was going to talk about the new venture.
Okay.
Oh. You got a foundation that we need to talk about.
I do. I just started a nonprofit organization called the Dance with Mweni Foundation.
Why is it called that?
So Mweni is one of the girls that I worked with in Kenya who has a physical disability, and she can't walk, and she's in a wheelchair. And when you pick her up, she just starts dancing as fast as she can with her legs and her smile just lights up the whole room.
Wow.
So the name is inspired by her, but it benefits all the special needs children and adults that I worked with in Kenya. And so I'm using my fitness reach and platform to spread awareness and hopefully get more volunteers.
God bless. What a cool idea.
Yeah. And that's important because a lot of times with disabilities, with adults and there's a thought that movement doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. That because mm-hmm. they're restricted in movement, mm-hmm. but as from your vantage point and what you saw in Kenya, there definitely is a correlation to the overall feeling of some or the overall health of somebody and movement.
Yes, like you should see her face. And there's another young boy that I work with, Brighton, and he just crawls around so fast. And his smile when you just hold him up, it's really amazing.
Good for you for doing it. How do we help?
You can either come sweat workout with me. I am teaching a class tomorrow night at the Lakewood in Chicago, but you can also go to dancewithmoney.org.
Can we donate online?
Yes, you can at dancewithmoney.org.
Mweyne.
So my mission is to have everyone know what that name is and know how to spell it at some point.
And how's music? You do anything more music?
I am actually playing a lot more now. I've been strumming on my guitar at least once a day, so it's pretty good, at least when I'm home.
All right. Well, when you're ready to promote that, come back.
All right. Sounds good.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's Bettina Gozo, America's Greatest Guest.
Game? What's a game? Oh, a game.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Remember when Milt Rosenberg used to use this as his opening theme?
Tonight we talk science.
Early voting is on in Illinois, and each election authority, usually counties, only has to have one early voting location only open until today. Today's when it changes and it goes wide.
I'm voting today.
Do you know where you're going?
I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to give the location? People can meet me there.
You can do an appearance there?
I'm going to do the by Old Orchard.
Okay. Registration options. Online registration ended yesterday. You can still register in person all the way up until Election Day. Once you vote, that's it. You don't get to double vote. So that's an important thing to remember. Procrastinators. Most people wait till Election Day. In suburban Cook County, 718 votes were cast in the March primary before the number of early voting polling places expanded. But by the end, 108,000 people voted early.
Yeah, because they want to do bits with the election judges like me.
So exactly. And have you let your election judges know you're back for more?
No, I keep it. I don't spend a lot of time there. It's at the old folks' home over on Jackson. So when I go in there, I'm always like, "What's up? I'm back.
Showtime."
I like to think that the election judges at Justin's polling place are all sitting around thinking, "Is that guy coming back this year?"
They love
the one that always is doing shtick.
They love
too,
it. They're like,
it
peps them up. Otherwise, everyone's all quiet. Everyone takes it so seriously. I come in and I'm like, voting is fun. I give them a whole thing. I hand them a sticker.
And one other thing before we get to the break. You can go to the 538 website, 538.
Yeah.
And you can see how every member of Congress votes in accordance or against Donald Trump.
Oh, there you go.
So if Trump's not your bag... yes, obviously don't be slamming my president. Yeah. Tracking Congress in the Age of Trump, it's called, at the 538.com website. Spell it out, 538.com. And we'll get more on voting in the coming days for sure.
I do. I only vote for people who have great Chicago accents.
which is coming up in 10 minutes. Get ready to come in. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
Why are we so blessed?
Well, we'll get to that later, Tom.
Favorite day, Sunday. Favorite team, the Bears. Favorite store, Ventures. Sayers, Sayers. Favorite show, Danza. Also, the news. Weatherman, Skillin. Music, the Bulls. Favorite actor, Denny. Favorite drink, Old Bulls. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls, 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 Bulls.
Doubles. Who did that song originally? So we can give him credit.
That's Serengeti, the great Chicago rapper, and the song called Denahi, which I have to say, I saw Serengeti on, since I think it was Instagram this week. He was followed by the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls' official account followed him. And I just think that's
quite an honor
that he uses Bears, Bulls, Bulls.
The Bears.
At one point
Bulls.
In that song, he just goes Bulls, 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 which is.
All right, now reiterate what you said before.
Right.
This is not to make fun of people.
No, no, no. This is a Chicago accent challenge. If you've been told you have the best Chicago accent on the block, maybe use phrases like drag it through the garden or over by dare at least once a week. This is a segment for you. If you've been told, you know, this Chicago accent's been made famous by the super fans, of course, but there's much more to the dialect here in the area. Ted McClellan, who is a longtime linguist who wrote the book How to Speak Midwestern, he's a guy that helped put this together.
And it's a bigger deal than Da Bears.
He made it very clear. It's nuanced. It's according to ethnicity, region, gender. There's a lot that goes into it, but the Chicago accent is one of the strongest and most, I guess, distinctive in the United States of America. So we celebrate it here on the Steve Cochran Show. 312-981-7200. If you think you got a good Chicago accent and you want to play today, this is a segment for you because, frankly, you could win a pizza for just talking.
Well, and qualify for the big event.
And then the big event, which is going to be on December 2nd at the Chicago Theater Works for the Chicago Podcast Festival, where we're going to do a big challenge, I think the Karate Kid Tournament. But for Chicago accent.
Have you figured out how you're going to do the logistics of that?
No, it'll be a lot of
round robin elimination.
It'll be an elimination. Maybe it'll be like a pageant. You know, I was thinking that kind of style where there's different categories, swimsuit,
they'll wear
things like that.
Well, sure. They've done away with swimsuit
right,
now.
They've
pageant,
done away with
so
it.
Not in his pageant.
Not in an accent.
Which jersey?
Right, which jersey?
You know, jersey. Sashes. Do you think they'll be wearing sashes? Like,
yeah, like
Bridgeview?
Right.
The jersey thing's an important point. Like a fat guy in a jersey, is the accent better?
Good question. I don't know. To be honest with you, and I think of Glenn, who's one of the guys we've had on the show, there are different types of Chicago accent that will automatically come out in the question. So you'll have that sort of stereotypical, you know, Sausage Dub Bears, where you can kind of feel the girth of the accent.
The but questions are carefully vetted?
One. They're carefully vetted.
Research, University of Chicago involved?
They're very researched.
There's one who's judging you.
And we all judge, right?
Oh,
we all judge. On stage, it'll be celebrity judges.
I'm not available for this event. Just so you know.
You don't know, December 2nd? You know?
You got a plan that night, do you?
Yeah.
I do. We have the kids that weekend.
Apparently, whenever she has the kids, they can't leave the house.
That's right. Mary, well, I got to get Mary Vandeveld just because.
It's great
Mary,
to use that excuse.
Wait, is this a Sunday or what?
It's a Sunday night. Yeah.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
How late?
I'm not sure. 6 or 7 o'clock.
I've already told you. I've complained about my Sunday nights are ruined for the next 9 months because Patrick has hockey and he's at that age now where his games are at 7 o'clock, 7:30. They're, it's,
at least they're not at midnight. Some kids play hockey at midnight.
Well, I know, when they get older, but he was in that 3 o'clock range, which was ideal.
Is it really a midnight start time?
The ice time. I don't. Those kids are older, though.
Yeah, the older kids. And they do goofy things with hockey, though.
Well, let me do this. 312-981.
You got Nancy waiting on you.
7200. We'll get to the callers. I want to start with Mary Vandeveld, though. Like, oh, try with Mary.
No.
Mary, just I'd ask you a couple questions to see. First of all, where'd you grow up?
Villa Park.
Villa Park. Did you belong to a
She's trying parish? Not to talk with an accent. I can hear it. You're hiding it, Mary.
I am not. I said Villa Park.
Okay. All right. Let me throw something to you. Here you go. I'll ask the questions. You just give the answers. So we'll do it again here. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Oh, you're not going to like this because I want a Cubs or a, what's it called? The salad?
Chop salad.
A chop salad. That's what I like with no onions.
Okay.
You want any beef on it?
No, I don't like beefs. So that's why I'd lose right there.
Okay, that's all right.
Oh, there. Lose right there, though, the way she said that.
And yeah. I have ketchup with, I have hot dogs with ketchup.
Okay.
So I'd lose again.
That's a lose.
Now you've made him angry.
Can you ask
a cultural question.
Mary, let's hear. What parish are you from?
St. Alexander.
She's trying hard not to talk to the
next. It's true. I can hear you. Truthfully,
attorney,
I don't want to fake it.
Attorney Kaufman, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, one more. How do you get over by Ma's house?
Well, let's see. We would have turned on Ardmore Avenue, gone down to street, to the street past the Lutheran Church, turn left on Washington, and pull in the driveway, and there we are. Mom's for dinner.
Well, I think you are by far
the worst.
No. You are in the running, right there. We said go. It was down. Down by.
It'd almost be fun to qualify her just so she has to show up on a Sunday night just to get her out of the house.
Why don't we do one and then we'll take a break and get everyone else in. 312-981-7200. Let's start with Jeff. Jeff, where are you from, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? I'm from Des Plaines.
Des Plaines. Okay. What parish are you from?
St. Luke's.
Okay. There you go. All right. You feel like you have a Chicago accent? People tell you that?
Every once in a while I get that, yeah.
Okay. And you feel like your whole family does, or is it just you?
I think we all do. We born and raised in Niles, just on the edge of Chicago. So we're over there every once in a while.
You can hear the long A in Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's right. All right, I'll ask you, Jeff, the same questions. Here, why don't we start with welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah, I have a combo beef and sausage with a couple of sports on the side there, please.
Strong.
Yeah. And how do you get over by Maz?
I hop on Milwaukee Avenue and go down to Jefferson Park, and then I get on the Blue Line, and I go downtown and get off at Washington.
Does he have relatives in Boston? Because he was getting on Jefferson Park.
I hit that one pretty hard there.
Yeah, Park.
All right, let me ask you a question, a sports question. Name three of the starting Cubs pitching staff from 1984.
From 84?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think you had Sutcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
You had, jeez.
Would you like an assistant? Yeah, Dave, throw him a ball.
Lifeline.
How about, let's...
He became a closer.
Yeah, let's go with the Dennis Eckersley.
Well, that's not a...
No, that's not the guy you
No, that's
of.
Good, but that's not a clue.
No, how about, how about Steve Trout?
Yeah.
There's another answer.
Where's Rick Ruscha? Where was he there?
You're supposed to be doing clues, Dave.
These aren't actual answers. They're clues.
I'm sorry. I don't understand the game.
All right.
How about Russell? How about Lee Smith?
Yeah. I'll take that lifeline.
Oh, you just took it. Yeah, you took it. Okay. All right, Jeff, thank you. That was good.
Yeah, Jeff's really good. Hold on.
I got to give Jeff a lot of props. He hit Chicago. He hit the A. Obviously, he was laying it on thick, and he got confused with the Boston accent. That's what you got to watch out for. You got to watch out because a lot of throwing it on thick because they think they're being stereotypical with the accent, so they're trying to do a Chicago accent. We're looking for the authentic Chicago accent.
And Matt and Vito, oh boy, that may be your winner. Matt and Vito are standing by. Dexter says, my 13-year-old daughter plays hockey. Her practices are until 11 p.m.
Wow.
She must be really good. 13-year-old, that's impressive.
Has to be at school at 6:45. A little hard to wake her in the morning.
Yeah. Forget about her. What about the parents? You're the one that has to tote them back and forth. That means that parent is getting like 4 hours of sleep.
I used to play softball at 10 o'clock at night. But that was the 80s.
And the lights.
With the lights.
A little Grant Park about last night.
It's cool.
Yeah. Was it with a glove?
Yes. Oh, softball.
Softball. That's not softball.
9:19, we come back. A man named Vito and a man named Matt.
85 Walter Ruse, old style pack of crews. Go to Ace, no tolls and weed whacker fuel. 85 Bear Silver, stay Seattle's got ruined. For the basement sump pump, shop vac, clean up, cook brats, cook chops, or heat.
Justin is a boy with a dream. Yeah. He wants to find the best Chicago accent.
We've been on a pilgrimage to find the best Chicago accent.
It's not Mecca.
No. Mecca would be Al's Beef.
So you've got a couple on the phone here.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's go to Matt. Matt's in the West Loop. You there, Matt?
How you doing, guys?
Good. So, Matt, where are you from?
I am from Mount Prospect. I currently reside in the West Loop.
There you go. See? And what parish?
I go to Old St. Pat's right now.
Yeah, see, Matt's got the classic. You've got—I can already tell by the few words that you've said. You people say you have a Chicago accent, right?
I am often told that. I got absolutely ridiculed constantly at the University of Iowa for the way I said a number of things.
I don't hear it as much. No, educate me.
See, Matt's kind of like me.
No, yeah, he's
really
got it's a nasally long A. What were the things that people ridiculed you for? The way that you would say certain foods, things like that.
Immediately, the state of Oregon, whether it was Oregon or Oregon. And then certainly things like Montreal, I guess, is how you're supposed to say it, but I certainly call it Montreal. You know, the Hawks are playing Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal.
Exactly. All right, man, let's try some stuff out. What, first of all, what do you get on your pizza?
If I'm getting a pizza, you know, I'll get green peppers, onions, and flying tomatoes from Lou's.
There you go. See?
Isn't it funny how food brings it out?
Right. Let me ask you another question. Let me ask you a sports question. Who's the current quarterback for the Chicago Bears?
That would be Mitchell Trubisky, though I love to call him Trubinsky just to play it up. You know, he's the fullest Debo, as they're saying now.
There you go.
How do you get over by Maz?
So my Ma, she's in Niles. She's over right off of Harlem. From my house in Mount Prospect growing up, we'd take golf over to Milwaukee, right by Golf Mill there, up Milwaukee down to Oakton, Oakton over to Harlem, Harlem to Kirk, and then she lived on Neva and Niles right off of Kirk.
Not bad at all. Now, let me ask you a question, Justin. As the judge of this thing, do any of the contestants get bonus points if their Ma lives off Harlem or Cicero?
I'm finding out that most of Chicago's Ma lives off of Harlem or Cicero.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you one last question. What is the name of the deity that is the all-empowering Lord in the Bible?
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now let's go with who's Jesus' dad?
That would be God.
God. Okay,
God.
Good.
God. That's right.
God.
God.
All right,
thanks,
hold
Matt.
On. Pete's needing some information from you. And I'm excited for you to talk to this guy.
That's what I'm saying. Matt has that Chicago, thinner Chicago accent that is much more authentic. This is going to be a good one. Vito from the Northwest Side. Welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge.
What up? What's going on?
Oh, see? Vito's got a little combo. Mm-hmm. Where are you from? What parish are you from, Vito?
St. Hilary.
St. Hilary, okay. Yeah. And people say you have a Chicago accent?
Yes, sir. You're making fun of it?
No, I told you, straight up. That's a classic Chicago
people.
Right there.
He's
you got
Vito's got people.
Vito's
I'm not
got
surprised.
People. Vito, welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah, give me a combo, baptized peppers, make it fast.
Make it fast.
I got things to do, huh?
How do you get over by Maz?
We go out in the alley, get in the car. Mom's up in Skokie. We take Cicero up to Skokie Boulevard. When you get up to the old Orchard Shopping Center, you make a right-hand turn.
All right, Vito, let me tell you.
Wait. Would it be a shopping center or the mall?
Yeah.
No, shopping center, Cochran.
Okay. Oh. All right, Vito.
Yes. Is this the coach on the line?
All right, Vito. This might be a little tougher one, but here's give us your favorite Mike Ditka quote.
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at? That's looking strong. At?
I give extra points to see that buddy. That's your IQ zero.
Here's your IQ, buddy.
Yeah, here's your IQ, buddy.
Yeah. Well.
And then let me finish with let's see here. What do you call a traffic jam that has people slowing down to look at an accident?
Get out of my way.
Well, that's one option.
All right. Thanks, Vito.
That's one option.
Oh, I don't know. Vito had the character, right? He had the character.
Strong.
Down.
Come on, a gaper.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Let's get a woman in here.
Yeah, I'm good.
Let's go with
Kate. Kate, you're on the Northwest Side as well?
I am.
All right. Kate, what parish are you from?
St. Monica's.
St. Monica's. There you go. Okay, so.
I think that was Monica.
That last guy, it was a gaper's block. That's not, I don't know what
strong.
He was talking about.
Yeah, good
that's
for
I'm
you.
Saying right there. All right, Kate, let me ask you a couple questions. People say you have a Chicago accent?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'll ask you a question. How do you get over by Maz?
So I jump on to Kennedy and get off at Harlem. Take Harlem straight down to Foster, make a right turn on Okito and go straight up.
Let's go straight up.
Go straight up, strong. Wouldn't it be great to have a census number on how many Maz live on Harlem?
There's a lot of Maz up in that area. All right, let me ask you, what do you call the space between two houses?
The gangway?
You got it, the gangway. It's very Chicago, so you're on your way. And then I'll ask, welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah, so I'll take a chop salad, a cake shake, a double cheese bacon, and that'll do it.
That'll do
You're
it.
A hungry girl.
I like that.
I will say it does.
Well, I got to order for my husband, too, because he can't ever go out and get food.
Oh, that sounded like it speaks well to the chop salad, though. Both Mary and her wanted one. Their chop salad is good.
Salad is a good Chicago word.
Kate's really good.
Yeah, Kate. Thank you, Kate.
And I don't like Portillo's beef. I got to go Sorelli's. You got to go Sorelli's. If you're going to get Chicago beef, you got to go Sorelli's.
Okay, Sorelli's. You might be piling on now. Hold on.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
All right. Now, you're not going to get a chance to get both of these, so pick one. You got Jimmy or Don?
Why don't we say we got enough, right? Do you want to do one more?
Oh, yeah, because you should do that thing that I forgot to have us do earlier.
Oh, that's right. All right, Jimmy and Don, don't give up. We need
you.
We're qualifying.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Qualifiers
group.
To the until November. All right. So you've got Jeff from Des Plaines, who went to St. Luke's, who had the long ace on, but he put it on thick. Jeff's in pack, which I think might disqualify him because you could tell he was kind of putting it on. What do you think?
Yeah, a little bit. I'd rank him third of the group.
You have Matt from Mount Prospect, who goes Old St. Pat's, the University of Iowa, who said he Montreal. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he was good. I enjoyed Matt. Vito, who's St. Hilary, who threatened you, Steve.
There got to be bonus points for that.
There's got to be bonus. And then there was Kate just now from Chicago who told us what she gets at Portillo's, and it's a pretty hefty order.
Yeah, I'm a little biased maybe, but I thought Kate was great.
Yeah, I thought Kate was great as well. I think so too.
I think we got a winner. Even though I like Matt from the West Loop, I have to give it to Kate from Chicago. Kate, good job!
She's qualified. She's qualified for the big live show. Pick up Matt.
She wins, then qualifies. She gets a Lou Malnati's gift card for right now. And then she also qualifies for the grand prize of $333.
About that.
At the on stage at Chicago Theater Works on Belmont.
And she gets to pick up Mary Vandeville on the way to the show.
That's right.
That's good.
Thank you for playing, everybody. That's a good one.
9:30, time for those headlines right after I say the following. You want to win, don't you? You look like a winner. Are you a winner? You look like a winner to me. You look like a winner that probably loves a riddle. Don't you love a riddle?
I do love a riddle.
Why don't you read the riddle?
All right.
This is a Hawker riddle for tickets to which game?
Tomorrow? Tuesday, October 23rd against Anaheim.
That's right. The Anaheim Ducks. This is courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. And Roe and Anna will give away a pair at 4:40 this afternoon. First correct caller that can answer the question. Who's she talking about in this riddle? Okay? 312-981-7200.
For 22 years in the middle, a shooter, but best known by the most, on a line nicknamed Scooter. All other shot straight, back and forth as they swerved. He gets the credit for inventing the curve.
I got it.
You do? Mm-hmm. You're not kidding.
I do have it. I'm doing my Aunt Diane. I got it.
Because Andrea Darlis would used to do the thing where she go, I got it. And I go,
she didn't have it.
You have it? She goes, not
on it. That's my Aunt Diane playing Trivial Pursuit.
But you
I know that one. I'm like, no, you don't.
Okay. All right, read it one more time.
For 22 years in the middle, a shooter, but best known by the most, on a line nicknamed Scooter. All others shot straight, back and forth as they swerved. He gets the credit for inventing the curve.
It's got to be a traffic thing.
Oh, I even think I know it.
Oh, can you believe it?
First correct answer, 312-981-7200.
So is this where I say the answer again?
No. You're the worst hinter ever.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
You heard the Hawker riddle. Jim's on the phone to try and win right now. Jim, who is it?
It's Stan Makita.
Ding, ding, ding.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Pair of tickets to see the Hawks and the Ducks tomorrow night, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Was it the curve that got you?
No, I knew right away when you said the scooters.
It sounds like you got to be in the accent challenge.
Where were you 15 minutes ago,
for
Jim?
40 years.
Oh, you did? You gave them up?
Yeah, well, I had them myself, and then when they moved to the United Center, my company was a sponsor. Now I'm retired, so one or two Hawk games a year instead of 30.
Well, guess what? You're going tomorrow night, man. And thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I love my dog. He's my dog. If you don't love my dog.
It's 941. Now, we've had Steve Dale bringing the dogs in for a long time, and they all get adopted thanks to you guys. You're very generous, supportive audience.
Some energy in here today.
But a lot of people think the only reason that I do this is because I like to see Dave roll around on the floor, and that's only partially true. That's not completely true. That's only partially true.
This dog will roll around on the floor with Dave. It took us, Steve, from the elevator to, and good morning.
Good morning.
From
good morning.
Justin, from the elevator to here. How long is it the walk? Maybe
50 yards.
Yeah. How much?
50 yards.
Yeah. It would take what? 30 seconds or something?
Yeah.
Like that, right? It took us 20 minutes because everyone in the building, I believe, even people on other floors came to stop and see this dog. So with me are Kelly Gandersky, the acting executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control, and my old pal, Jenny Schluter from Chicago Animal Care and Control.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to see both of you.
Good morning.
Kelly, first time on the show, I think, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, this is a big break for you.
Clearly.
Chance of a lifetime.
How would you describe this dog?
How would I describe?
The dog.
Oh, quirky? Well, he kind of fits his name. He's full of energy. He's a sweetheart. Wow. Loves affection. He's a big, strong guy, but he's a fool for attention.
Breed?
He is a mixed breed dog.
A mutt. I love a mutt.
We're not really sure what his breed is, but I'll call his breed Cute. How about that?
Cute is a good breed.
He doesn't know he's a mutt, Steve, so just...
Oh, no, trust me. He knows. Yeah, all the other kids pointed out to him. That's right. How old is Quirky?
They're guessing around 6, but maybe anywhere between 4 and 6 years old.
All right, so obviously fully grown. How much does he weigh?
We're not exactly sure at this point. He looks to me a bit...
Dave, weigh yourself while you're holding Quirky.
he feels about 60 pounds. How about that?
Well, that's a big dog.
Yeah,
it's a big, strong dog.
Yeah.
What's he eat, Steve?
Everything.
He didn't eat you, though, Steve.
No, he did not. This dog is motivated by treats, which is a good thing. You know the dog can be trained. Even more motivated, I think, by toys, which is similarly a really good thing.
So far, sounds like me. Motivated by treats and toys.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? It disturbs me that dogs like this are in the animal shelter for very long. And we need to find Quirky a really good home, maybe with kids. Quirky is good with other dogs as well, and loves people.
How long has he been in the shelter?
He's been with us since July of this year, which is it's longer than we'd like to see. We have a few dogs that have been with us since July. We've moved them up to the adoption floor in hopes that they'll get some really good homes soon.
What is a typical amount of time that a dog will spend in a shelter?
It depends. We have dogs that stay a day. We have dogs that stay over 90 days. It just depends upon the circumstances.
Yeah, but mostly it's 30 and out.
Well,
because you're going to find a home.
Well, correct. But the bigger dogs tend to stay a little bit longer. But it just depends. Again, it depends on what people are looking for and what their home can provide.
And dogs that look like Quirky stay a little longer. So to be honest, this is a dog people would see on the street and say, though it is a mixed breed dog, they would say that dog is a pit bull. And, you know, the broad shoulders, big head, square kind of.
You're talking about me or the dog?
Both, actually. But you are not available for adoption. Or, well,
play your
maybe.
Cards, right?
I know. Yeah. And this dog is.
This dog is definitely available for adoption. He's fully vetted. He's neutered. He's microchipped. He's got all his vaccines, so he's ready for his home.
And even better, how much does this dog cost?
This month, this dog costs $0. So we are doing a fee waiver for Adopt-A-Ween. So through the end of October, you can come adopt your best friend, a dog or a cat, for $0.
This is why it's so important to support what you guys do every day, because it gives you an opportunity to do things like this, because there's a cost involved, not just with housing, but taking care of these dogs and also adopting them out.
That is correct. Our medical team does a great job getting these animals fully prepared for homes, and it's just most important to us that they find homes. So that's why we're doing
it. It feels like, and Steve, you can jump in on this too, that it feels to me we're getting more and more stories, or at least publicity, about where we are with shelters and a movement, a no-kill movement. Is it working? Are more and more people stepping up in Chicago to adopt, to bring these pets into their home?
Well, I want to talk about our over 200 rescue partners that we have that are just amazing.
Well, you can't name them all.
No.
A little short on them.
They're amazing. Most of our dogs get out through rescue, so it's really important that the community supports rescue and adopting. We're up adoptions this year by 50%, which we're really proud of.
Wow.
So I think the community is recognizing the need for these abandoned and orphaned dogs and cats to find homes. So it is important, and I think the recognition is there. I think there's been more awareness, but I also want to say we've been having a rise in intake as well, too, so we're not exactly sure what that's
about. Why do you think that?
Yeah,
what's behind that?
We're not exactly sure at this time. All of us have been talking about all the different shelters, been talking about the uptick in intake. So I guess we'll have to just monitor the numbers and see at the end of the year what we think, where we think it's coming from.
What about the seasonal piece of this? Is this a seasonal business where when you get closer to the holidays, you have more or less?
It could be. What we've seen is the weather's been a little bit warmer. Okay. And as the weather's been warmer, we see upticks in births of animals, kittens and puppies. So that could be a factor. We're just generally looking at all the circumstances right now.
Dave, before Ozzy was fixed, you used to have Luther Vandross playing in the background and a bottle of wine because you always wanted to be a grandfather, right?
Yeah, not quite. I have to tell you, by the way, Quirky just slobbered a little bit on the official stats from the Bears game yesterday. Oh, so I think he's really smarter than we think.
Commenting on the Bears play. Very
really a sweet dog.
It's just good luck for next time around. You know what? The city's municipal shelter, Justin, to respond to what you were saying, sometimes gets a bad rap. You can call it whatever the politicians want to call the terminology. The reality is that today, over 90% of dogs, over 90% of cats get out alive and find homes. And while we want those numbers to be higher, of course, you always want them to be higher.
Right.
This city now, with resources that don't equate to cities that are our size, is doing an amazing job. Kelly and Jenny are a part of that. But it's more than that. It's the other employees. It's the volunteers. And most of all, it's the rescues that Kelly mentioned that have stepped up to get the dogs and cats out.
If you take us back 10 years, 15, 20 years, those numbers are not at 90%.
Oh, no.
You would see a much different environment. Our mission really is to provide a humane and safe environment for the animals while they're in our custody. And we also provide a public service, protect the public health and safety. So our mission is twofold. And I think we really strive, all of our employees, our staff, and with the help of our rescue partners, strive to meet that goal every day.
So, Jenny, how do we adopt?
Okay, we are open 7 days a week between 12 and 7 at 2741 Southwestern Avenue. We want everyone to find their boo this Halloween season.
Find your boo.
Hashtag find your boo. Hashtag find your Fido with the ASPCA.
Sure.
We're in that campaign as well, so please come on down. We literally
What do we need to bring when we come down?
Just bring a photo ID.
Okay.
And then some proof of address. If you've got other pets at home, we'd like to see the vaccine records if possible. If you rent, something from your landlord giving you permission. But we try to be as flexible as possible to work with people to make it work, to find them a good match and get them an animal as quickly as possible.
Now, if you are you have to demonstrate skills, like you can throw a stick far enough to play fetch, that kind of thing.
No, you can learn that on the job. We'll go out back and practice for a little bit before they go home.
Okay, good. What do you think of Quirky, Dave?
I like Quirky. He's got a lot of energy. And right now, there's a treat on the floor. He hasn't seen it yet.
Because he's too busy with people?
Yeah, he's paying attention to everybody around him.
But we will have to do the roll on the floor
test. I did. I was under the desk.
I don't know. But that's when Steve walked in. Yeah, it was totally different.
Pre-dog, right.
312-981-7200. If you have any questions for Steve Dale before we let him go, we always ask a question or two, and he's got some things on his mind because he's Steve Dale.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to those in just a second.
It's just my dog and me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Dale's here, and we'll give you the plugs we have already mentioned on not just how to adopt this beauty, but also the big event coming up in a second. But first, Steve, what's troubling you? What's on your pet mind?
Well, you know, it's coming up. Blah, blah, blah. Halloween. And you know what?
That's the best Dracula I've ever heard.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't believe you really believe
that. Well, you know.
It's one of the days that pets, actually, it is the day that pets get lost the most. You know, because the doorbell is going ding, ding, ding.
Oh, and they run out. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Total logic, right?
Yeah, dogs and cats, both. So microchip your animals if they're not, and also make sure that the microchip company knows that you've microchipped, so sign up with that company.
Do you recommend a company, or are they most of them good?
No. They're all fine, you know. So microchipping is important, but for a lot of animals, they get really anxious about that doorbell ringing, about people coming in or at your door that look like presidents or whatever
monsters.
They're dressed up as. Same thing, maybe. I don't know.
So what do you recommend?
So I recommend putting those animals in a separate room somewhere else, second bedroom, down in the basement, somewhere with WGN playing so they can't hear what's going on and maybe don't hear the doorbell as much. Occupy them with something else. So something like a
food. Like their favorite activity or something?
Uh-huh. Food puzzle. So they're busy trying to
get... I'm sorry, what? A food puzzle?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Justin knows about
that. What's a food puzzle?
There, it's like a contraption with a ball in there, and then you move
a toy,
and then you put a treat in, and they have to figure out how to get to the treat.
So you stuff a treat inside something like, say, a Kong toy.
I give Justin one of those after a good segment.
that's what he does at commercial breaks, and tries to get the low fat peanut butter out of the toy or something, because if dogs or cats, their mind is occupied doing that. They can't be afraid at the same time. They're like guys. They're not very good at multitasking.
And the only candy that's good for a dog is no candy?
Yes. Chocolate is a really bad thing. We know that, especially dark chocolate. Anything with xylitol in it. That's an artificial sweetener that is really bad for dogs.
What about Twizzlers? You know, it's a low-fat candy.
I'm not so sure about Twizzlers, but I'm thinking that's probably not a good idea because then their teeth look like they're all red. You know, we don't want that. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, here's one you might not know about. So the candles that people sometimes put in pumpkins.
Yeah.
They can kill a pet bird. Their respiratory systems are so sensitive that can actually hurt, very much hurt.
You mean just like breathing in the fumes?
Yeah. So it may smell good to us. To the pet bird, not such a good idea.
Can I recommend a pet bird not fly in a circle over where that's burning?
there's that, yes.
Where are we on pet costumes?
Oh,
we see that. I go into Michael's and it's just like there are pet costumes.
There's so many choices
now. I personally get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing a dog in a costume or a cat too. It's a lot of fun, but I would say just make sure you don't stress your pet
it's not
out.
Torture, right?
Yeah,
I wanted to put a pumpkin costume on him, but it was hard enough to get the harness on him, so we left it at that.
Yeah. But some dogs actually seem to enjoy the attention. They're accustomed to it, especially small dogs that wear coats anyway in the winter.
Yeah, right.
To them, they don't know they're looking like Dracula. It's just another coat, you know.
How about a very obedient dog dressed like Mike Pence? Can we do that?
I cannot do that. I would not want to do that. Not in public anyway.
Bad for the dog, Dave.
Can I ask real quickly if there's anything new on this grain-free diet and taurine deficient cardiomyopathy thing?
So
that's a lot of big words.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. So what you are referring to is the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine alert, where they said we are concerned about some of the grain-free diets. They don't know the answer to all this yet. They do know that they're seeing this kind of heart disease that you mentioned, dilated cardiomyopathy, which was thought previously to be breed-specific. In breeds and mixes, they never would have seen it in before. And what's common is all of these dogs are eating a grain-free diet. So talk to your veterinarian about what the best idea might be for your dog. Yeah. They're not sure yet what the combination of factors is that's causing this.
All right, let's get the plugs in. Big event is when?
Oh, Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, big night. So there's food from the best chefs in Chicago. It is Thursday night at the Chicago Cultural Center. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm co-emceeing the event with the oldest man in broadcasting ever, Paul Lisnick, and it should be a
You're not wrong.
I know. It should be a great event, and it's an important event because it's a way which the municipal shelter, Chicago Animal Care and Control, gets additional funding. This dog, please, please adopt this dog.
And you adopt Quirky how?
You can come down to 2741 Southwestern Avenue with your form of ID and a big open heart and a home and come take him home today.
It'll make you two really happy if they do that, won't it?
Oh, yes. Him and several others, dogs and cats, need good homes, so please come down.
We like Quirky. Quirky's like a Mike Singletary.
I think I could definitely see him in a Bears jersey on Sundays, for sure.
Well, not after yesterday.
We're going to go get a puppuccino now.
Okay.
Celebrate.
You can do that.
But take him home. That's not good.
Right. I think someone in this room might be able to take him home.
Dave. Got up Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill just said something funny. It's super dirty and he can't say it on the air. Call him. He'll tell you what it is. It's 10:01. How are you guys? Bill and Wendy.
Hi, Steve.
I was fine.
Until you heard us talking. Bill comes in and he says stuff, and he frankly is a bad influence on me.
He's the Andrew Dice Clay of the crosstalk.
Yep. By the way, speaking of Dice.
yes,
he
very
is.
Good.
A Star is Born. He's unbelievable.
Yep. Unrecognizable.
He really is. Not only has he lost a bunch of weight, but he's really good.
He's acting.
Chappelle was acting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really good.
Shocking. Chappelle was great.
Yeah.
The only one I had trouble of the comedians in the movie was, did you recognize who played the preacher for the wedding?
Charlie Weaver.
Right now I'm spacing out
what
his name.
What wedding?
There was when they were going to get married. They had a minister.
Don't spoil it.
I can't think of his name now. I'll look it up. I'll bring it up tomorrow during this crosstalk.
All right.
What are you guys doing today?
trying to figure out where the wedding scene is, and I saw it.
They got married.
Oh.
You don't remember them getting married?
I don't. That didn't stand out.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
Steve, when we talked about the movie, there was a question of whether or not you could see Bradley Cooper's butt in the movie, and half of the people who texted said, yes, absolutely. The other half said, no, that never happened.
Well, you saw half his butt. It was a side cheek.
Where did you get side cheek?
In the movie. Did you see it?
What?
During the wedding scene.
Did you like the movie?
I loved it.
So did I.
But I didn't cry.
No, I didn't cry either. Did you think the story was a little weak and the performances were tremendous?
I liked the very beginning of it. I thought this is going to move me, and it never moved me.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm stalling here to try to find the name of the preacher for the wedding that I now don't even know if it existed or not.
Oh.
Oh, you know, wait. That was the Archie's movie I'm thinking of.
Eddie Griffin?
Oh, really?
Eddie Griffin's in the movie.
Oh, I didn't recognize
Eddie Griffin.
Stand-up comic. It's very funny.
I don't even know who he is either.
He had a, I forgot the name. Was it the Eddie Griffin Show? He had a sitcom for a while.
I think that's what it was.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's Andy.
That's Andy.
He did a thing with Steve Lawrence. Remember Steve and Eddie?
Yes, that was Evie. Good God.
Listen, I hope you enjoyed this part of the show because we're going straight to the Broadcast Museum. But first, what's happening today, Wendy? Go!
Oh, Eddie Griffin.